Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time. We have the people.
This is Eric from Moana.
This is Priscilla Lima.
This is Tim Jensen with Pepperdine Volleyball.
The story in real time.
I can't argue that we're the best team in the world.
I'm not retiring, people.
You're listening to The Net Line with Barney.
If everyone was doing a great job, then everyone would win the championship every year.
Geeter.
It's not kittens and candles all the time, guys.
Reed.
Where's Pretty? You promised me he'd be on the show today.
And DJ Rouché.
The baddest DJ in the land.
It's The Net Live right now.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to The Net Live. Geeter, I'm hearing that now. I'm hearing that kind of...
huge crowd today.
Yeah, they're going. They cut off rather abruptly, though. As soon as that applause sign stops, they're done. There they go. Fading away.
Hey, Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everyone out there who's getting this show, checking it out. This is the first show of 2012, but really the last show of 2011.
It's really the year-end show, but it's 2012.
This is the Netties, the special Netties episode of The Net Live.
You listened to the last year's Netties last night, didn't you?
I did. I had to recap for everybody the 2011 or 2010 Netties, I guess, in preparation for the 2011 Netties.
I feel like we were at a different place then. There's a little more anger in us.
You were definitely in a
different
place.
I think I had
enough
anger for all of us.
Yeah, you felt like the world had been ripped out from below you.
And my heart was broken.
Yeah. Yeah, you were sad, and now this year, you're a big star at Fox.
You know when you lose that first girlfriend? I'm not sure you ever had to go through that, but most guys in high school do get broken up with.
It happens.
Yeah. I mean, I was broken up with once. Susan Burgani. On the cruise, senior year, and I tell you what, changed my life. I became a different man after that, but you remember that first heartbreak. You really do. And that's how it was for me last year. Beach volleyball was a disaster. Everything was crumbling. But things have changed. Maybe that rant helped in last year's Netties.
You were wanting to have positive living, as I recall. I didn't listen to the whole rant.
Lego the Nego is what my theme was.
Lego the Nego. Well, that's worked out. I think you've made some positive progress in your career.
I feel great.
You work full-time for Fox. You have a beautiful NetLive t-shirt on.
The blue one.
Although in our new NetLive logo, which if you're getting the podcast, will in fact be the podcast logo. I don't know. How do you feel about your depiction in that?
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't like it. I don't know if I'm...
You look kind of heavy.
Yeah, when people do cartoon characters of me, it never comes up. Like, everyone else looks great and fun. I'm always like a fat pig. It bothers me. I'm not going to lie to you. Jeremy, if he was here, he's late, by the way. These are not DJ hours. And we'll discuss that when he gets here. But we had a lady one time at an AVP event draw one for us. And it was like, she gave me like six chins. I was like, bro. Yeah, I called her bro. I mean, yeah. I was like, get out of the booth. Yeah, Jeremy's hair was perfect. He looked so good. It's just embarrassing.
Definitely hit my hair perfectly. I don't know how Gardhoff drew the part, but I looked very washed out.
I love Gardhoff's work. He failed in this one. it wasn't his best stuff.
You're just mad. You didn't fail. You're just angry.
And of course, Reed looks perfect. You know, Jay Roche. Gardhoff didn't even know Jay Roche. Look at him.
Look, he's got earrings.
Yeah, actually, I take that back. Reed,
sweet faux hawk.
Reed doesn't look perfect.
Reed looks like he...
I don't look perfect. Long forehead there.
Yeah.
Accentuating the bald five head going on.
Yeah, and Reed, Barnett looks like Dennis the Menace a little bit.
It's true.
But I look like...
I've got tiny
I look
eyes,
like
too.
I got stung by bumblebees and I was allergic. Like I'm completely blow up. I mean, how many... Look at my cheeks.
You know, one thing, though, you do look kind of buff. You look like you've been doing a lot of shoulder shrugs.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point.
but some of those shrugs have gone into your cheeks.
Send them there right now.
This is on the Facebook page, facebook.com/thenetlive. Okay. It is our profile pic now. It's a drawing, an original by Matt Gardhoff. Looks like it should appear in the Sunday paper.
Yeah. And you can see Gardhoff stuff. He's YouTubed a lot of it. He does it with the dolls, and he does some great spoofs. And very talented, but this is it's not his best work.
Reed kind of looks like he needs to consume mass quantities. He's reminding me of a Conehead from France.
A Conehead, that's what he looks like. Yeah, I got to tell you, Reed and I got screwed in this.
I look kind of washed out, like beady little eyes, and I look sort of angry.
By the way,
is that right?
You know, whenever the most major of decisions needs to go down, I always defer to Reed. Reed, this does not go on any kind of T-shirt, correct, sir?
I don't think Hurley would print anything like this.
What? Well, I'll have to get a beefy tee then. We'll get this printed elsewhere. And special edition Net Live T-shirt, although we have to cut Gardhoff in on the proceeds. That's going
to
be rough.
Hey, by the way, hats off to you, Brandon Rosenthal. Reed was in Russia. I actually called in from home. But great stuff at the Final Four for the women. We had a very good show there, and that was a lot of fun. I mean, it felt fun for mine, and I wasn't even there, but I know it must have been great for you guys.
I'll tell you, I came off the ABCA All-American banquet, which was all morning, 2.5-3 hours, and a long slog, and right down to setting the show up, getting the show. We actually missed our initial, and we couldn't get on air. We were having some technical issues with the Wi-Fi there, so we had to go back and get on air later. So we actually started the show for a half an hour before it came on live. So if you got the podcast, you got the whole show. Mm-hmm. If you got the Blog Talk feed, it wasn't the whole show, but it didn't feel like 3.5 hours. And we had just an incredible number of guests and great energy there in the coach's zone, people coming by. Eric Sullivan reappeared on this program.
I'd love to talk to you about that. But, Reed, I wanted to mention to you what I was telling Kevin this before we came on air. It reminds me of when NCAA Final Four men's basketball happens, press row, and when the Super Bowl happens. That's when Sports Talk Radio is really fun to listen to because guests just file in. Some you know are coming, some you don't. And for volleyball, we have one opportunity to do that. So it was really cool. I mean, you had Chris Poole sit down. Next thing you know, McHaley's there. You know, it was very, very cool.
That was a good show. And I'm curious to know where Sullivan's been. I mean, does he just
exactly.
Is it not part of the job description to log on and do his weekly call-in anymore?
No, he's not allowed. He's not allowed to do the weekly call-in anymore.
Well, here's the thing.
Jared's put the kibosh on that.
No, here's the thing. I did a lot of Texas matches this year, so we would laugh about that. I'd be like, what has happened to you? And he said it was just a different time thing. When he was in Lincoln, he was always in his office at that time. He's throwing out the we're practicing during that time card. I'm like, well, how come Jared's always listening then? So I don't know. There's definitely some flags that have been thrown and – Sullivan, I don't think has an excuse. I think he kind of went underground after leaving Nebraska. I think he was scared that we were always going to put him on the spot. You know, we were always trying to create a little controversy when he came on.
We frightened one of our all-time callers.
Good riddance.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's give you a little preview.
The trivia contest went well, right?
The trivia contest was fun. Don Shaw participated in the trivia contest. A bunch of other college coaches. And folks there, I had to shout for 45 minutes. We're getting a mic system next year, or at least a megaphone.
How are your MC skills that weekend? We didn't really talk about it. I mean, you feeling like you're driving your price up?
Yes.
You and I had a nice little text off about this a few weeks ago. It's time to drive the price up, Kevin Barnett.
That's right. Okay. I felt like it went well. And I asked Kathy about it, Kathy DeBoer, president of the ABCA, who is ostensibly my boss for that event. And I said, how do you feel about it? She felt good about it. She said, people at the event feel good about it. So it's never the people here that let us know. It's the people who were here who then go home and get angry and write emails back to us. That's who we hear from later about how it wasn't any good or whatever else. I had a moment that I want back because I had a great question and I didn't put it where it belonged. So Colleen Ward of Illinois.
Okay.
From Naperville North.
Oh, That's your backyard.
That's
bro.
My high school.
Yeah,
that's my high school. So, I threw it out at the beginning without an answer. And what my last question? Because the last questions tend to be a little goofy.
Yeah.
The last question should have been, "Who's the best volleyball player ever out of Naperville North?" But I threw it out in the beginning. I'm like, my friends want me to ask you right off the bat.
Yeah.
And I muddled it instead of just hitting it at the end. It would have been a good
really
hit
really hammering it. At the
end. Yeah. So I want that one back. But other than that, I think it went great. The kids were hilarious. You know, the kids make it or break it. I just asked the stupid questions, and the kids are going to make or break it. And Natalie Hagman of SC.
She's phenomenal.
She
man.
Was awesome.
What a baller, too, by the way. I mean, I've known her since her years when she played for Wave, and they had a great team. Kelly Reeves was on that team, and they were just steady. They were together from, you know, 12 years old on, but she was always a game changer. And the way she's played at SC as a libero, that's where you look at that position and say, man, that if you have a great one, you can go far. Because she's a leader, she's emotional, she's passionate, she's like a bulldog back there. You know what I mean? She's a feisty competitor that all great teams need to have, and I was so impressed with her.
What was awesome is that she threw it out there. She wasn't afraid to answer the question that I put out there.
Which was,
who does the best Mick impression on your team? And she put out there, I forget who she said it was on the last show, and then I asked her something else, and she said, yeah, he does this stare. And so she did it.
And
in front of everybody.
It
was awesome. Yeah, and I had thrown it out there before, like to Rachel of Texas.
Rachel Adams.
Yeah, I was thinking Rachel Scott.
Yeah.
I know who Rachel Scott is.
That's Rachel Walkholder, now married to Sean Scott.
There you go.
Now I know where your mind is. Go ahead.
So I threw it out there to her. I said, okay, you know, who does, or can you do an impression of Mick, or which person do you do a better impression of, Mick, Eric, or Salima? And I think she, or
you're talking about
not
Jarrett.
Mick, sorry,
yes.
Jarrett. And she said Jarrett, and then she wouldn't do it.
Oh,
I'm like, you're a senior, you're on your way out. And I said, you don't even play for him anymore.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Hagelin's got 2 years left. She's doing Mick.
Can I ask you another question about the convention? I heard Mike Seeley's speech was phenomenal.
He was awesome.
I've yet to get any, tidbits from it or anything. But I did. I mean, it was more than one person said to me. Reed Sudhara said something. Tim Jensen said something. Jared Elliott said something. Nina Matthews said something. In passing, just how solid his speech was, how impressed they were.
Yeah, Mike killed it. Very comfortable in his own skin, I think, these days, and very contemplative.
Like George Harrison playing
everything.
Guitar.
Yeah. And he just said some funny stuff.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you know, this team is great. They're like the 15 little sisters I never wanted. Stuff like that.
Yeah, he's funny.
You know, he's very dry.
And
so Mike, he's being very witty, but there's no escalation or up or down or smile in the whole thing. It's pretty funny.
He had a great text to me before they played Texas. I think he was watching them play Kentucky or something, and he had already beaten Penn State. And he's like, yeah, it looks like I'm going to be bringing a knife to a gunfight, you know, just watching how crazy Texas physical they were and stuff. But he just has those little funny one-liners, you know.
Yeah, Mike was fantastic, and really, this event every year shows, I think, the great personalities that are in the game. That's what I enjoy, and having gone last year for the first time, not realizing what a big deal the event is between the convention itself, all the coaches that are there, the clinics, and the sessions that are going on, and then the event itself, where you have 10,000, 15,000 people in an arena.
Very cool.
It's very cool.
Great coaching staff. How are Niff's sweaters? They look fine on
TV.
Oh,
my God. Yeah, the Letterman sweater.
Yeah.
Go rock the Letterman sweater.
Niff almost got the women's title to go along with the men's titles from UCI.
Yeah, he's had a good year. It was a great event. People were asking me who I wanted to win at the end, and I had divided loyalties. I'd have been happy with either one of those teams winning.
Yeah.
Either one of those coaches. I think both those guys are
doing
a great job, and you're going to have them in the game for another 25, 30 years.
You know what I thought about when I watched them coach and when I watched their teams play? Future stars of our game. You know, I thought that about Jarrett a few years back and a couple other guys. I mean, when Wally got to the Final Four back in 2005, and, you know, when you saw Jimmy Mack coaching at a young age at USC on the men's side, you know, there's just certain people you go, man, they're good. And Seeley's got that it factor, and so does Hambly.
Yeah, I think they're both going to be at the top of that game for a very long time. I mean, they're both in good quality programs. They won't have problem recruiting. They've had success. I think you're going to see them in that mix forever. Question will be, who's going to end up with the national team job?
Good question.
Who's going to do that for a few years?
So many things are going to happen in 2012. I mean, the changing of the guard at UCLA hasn't been talked about that much, but that's going to heat up as the men's season comes. I mean, Al Skates is retiring. You know, Hugh is going to go to Minnesota. There's going to be a lot of changes. The Olympics are happening. I mean, 2012, Barney, is a monster year in the sport of volleyball, both on the beach side and indoor. We're going to have a national champion in sand volleyball in college. The inaugural. I believe Jay Roche is downstairs knocking. I mean, he should know better.
Oh, well, he can't get in because the front door broke yesterday.
Should I go get him?
Sure. Go ahead and get him. I'll let people know what's going to be happening on this program today. You heard Reed. He's going to be with us for a little while longer. He's over in Russia. He's just recovering from his Russian New Year's, I'm sure. And we're also going to give you the Netties, the 2011 Netties. We'll give you the review of 2010 and how some of those things worked out, some of those predictions worked out. And then we'll give you the 2011 Netties, the categories, which are up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/thenetlive, if you wanted to vote for your own. We have Most Influential Volleyball Event, Team USA Player of the Year, and that's open to everybody, beach, indoor, men, women. Headline of the Year, issue that will be most influential in the following year, so this is 2012. DJ Roche, you don't look too awake. Number five would be the biggest disappointment of 2011. And then finally, our person of the year, our POY, if you will. So those would be the categories. We'll start going through them shortly. But we have lots of other topics,
you know,
to talk about in the sport, kind of where things are at. And want to get Reed's take on how things were at World Cup. And lots to talk about. And we got Jeremy, who's unpacking his stuff, and we'll be wearing dark sunglasses through the entire
event. What I didn't like was last year and this year when I said to you, can Reed be my person of the year, you said no on both emails back to me. And I just never thought that that was fair.
Well, I don't know if we can have the person of the year on the phone. I mean, can we? Can we have him right here and just talking about him?
Can I read you a text from Jay Roche from moments ago? The front door is locked. And you fools can't hear me since you have headphones on. I mean, this is the kind of mood he's in. First of all, the door's broken. Right, Barney?
The door's busted. It got busted yesterday. Somebody went to open it. I think an internal spring broke. And I'm not quite sure how to take apart an outside door. That's the issue I've had. I haven't had time to look up the manual involved to open a door that's like a security door to the outside. You know, it's not like your indoor closet. You just strip the two bolts and you're done. You take it apart and discover the spring is busted. But yeah, having some definite issues with the front door.
I don't remember our disappointment. Oh, I do remember our disappointing in 2011.
You want to know?
Yeah. I just remember that.
Of 2010.
Of 2010.
Biggest disappointment of 2010. Kevin said, debacle that was Nick Lewin. And really, with him suing everybody, it could be a repeat. It could just be the debacle that is Nick Lewin.
Yeah, but also you have to listen to our interview with him to really know where your anger comes from. And then the fights you and Reed would have the following weeks about him were always glorious for me.
You said canceling the Manhattan Open and the city running an old school tournament with the players protesting, boycotting.
It was just...
And I'd forgotten about that.
It was a bummer.
That was your...
That bummed me out the most about the AVP going away was the timing of it. And canceling Chicago and Manhattan, I just felt that was...
Manhattan was supposed to be live on ABC.
I just feel like whatever it takes to get that done would have been great. And I know there's so much more that goes into it and, you know, financially and all that, but it just was, for me, a heartbreak to cancel those events. And the Manhattan Open going, you know what? The city did a fine job. It was great. We had fun there, but it wasn't the same. And no one will ever say that it was.
Well, it's different when you have it being run by the city itself rather than a promoter, because the city has owned it, but they haven't been the responsible party. Peter, sorry,
yeah.
Having some issues here.
Okay. Jeremy Roche is getting himself together. We do have a couple text messages out. We're going to hear from possibly Mike Seeley, and as Jeremy will tell you when he comes on, we did plan this show a little bit late with the time. You know, there was a little mix-up in the time, and for guys with kids or for guys that live in Russia, this was no problem this time. But for DJs that worked Clipper games last night and you know, check their email a little bit late maybe, this is not – oh, Jeremy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Welcome to the show.
Are you sure? You should probably mute my mic. Or we should have like a 7-second delay.
Let me give everybody a little background on you. I mean, for people that don't know you, I mean, he likes things planned out. He likes them a certain way. Don't touch his stuff. Don't mess with things. His closet, the clothes are an inch apart. Things are folded nicely. The hair is good. You just don't mess with the DJ stuff. And he just didn't like that he didn't know we were doing a show till 8:15 this morning when the show was going to start at 8:30. He didn't like that we decided this at midnight without him. We didn't let him know. Then that the door was broken and locked and he couldn't get in. Those are just things that, like, make him angry. And then that we told everybody he was late bothers him even more.
Yeah, I can't wait to listen to the beginning of the show to see how you threw me under the bus.
We just said you were late, and it was really weird that you were late. And we read a couple texts and emails from you.
Those were good emails.
Okay, you went to Qatar.
I did.
For 3 weeks.
2 weeks. 14 days.
14 days. For the Arab Games?
Yep.
How were those? What was it like?
It was a pretty amazing experience. I'll say, you know, DJing a sporting event over there was just, you know, same as anywhere else.
Sure.
But getting to meet and hang out and talk to people that live in that region of the world,
yeah,
was the best part of the trip.
Qatar? Is that,
yeah,
right?
It was
that
in Doha. Right? Yep. I flew into Dubai, our flight from Dubai.
Pretty awesome. I've always wanted to go there.
I mean, it was, I was there for their National Day, which is basically like our 4th of July. And it was mayhem, but controlled mayhem. There's no drinking over there. So they were just raging dead sober.
Just sober rage offs?
Dead sober.
Is it like where you have a little knife on your head and you slap your head till it bleeds all over your face?
I didn't, fortunately.
How was the beach volleyball venue?
The beach volleyball venue, from what I heard, was great. I did not make it over there, but I heard the competition, nobody over there is going to do that well in the Olympics. How about that?
Yeah.
The level of play wasn't the greatest.
Someone just wrote, actually, Net Live co-host, Jay Rowe, are the Clippers taking over L.A.?
They might. I watched the Laker game last night. I'm going to vote yes right now. Jeremy?
At the moment, they are. They got more publicity, for sure. I still look at the first couple weeks. How's that sun in your face, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm getting it for once.
I'm looking at the first couple weeks of the season. Once February comes around, then I'll tell you one way or the other, because I still feel like now is preseason. All the teams are still trying to figure it out. I mean, has Dallas won a game yet? That's not right.
Yeah, they finally beat the Raptors the other night. But taking over L.A. is a little much. They are really fun to watch. They are really good, and they're going to get even better. I just don't know about taking over L.A., but it is really nice to see, and Bill Plaschke wrote an article about it the other day, the vibe at the Clipper games. And, Jeremy, I don't know if you read that, but you should take pleasure in Bill Plaschke's article. He talked about the music, and it felt like a nightclub, he said, and he said it was a really fun experience.
The best part is
that's a straight compliment, Bill Plaschke to Jeremy Roche.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Tie it all together.
And I was pissed he didn't use Jay Roche's name.
The best part about it is that we're not doing anything different this year than we've done before. We're just getting more publicity about it.
So you feel like that star who everybody goes, you came out of nowhere, and no one remembers the 10 years of hard work.
Yes,
before.
Yes, exactly. I'm not an overnight success, that's for sure.
That's right. Oh, excellent. Reed Pretty, are you still hanging in there? Holy cow.
I'm here.
Oh, there he is. Okay. Finally got the audio issues straightened out here. Sorry for the little discombobulated first part of the program here. My headphones are going in and out.
I'll do that to you.
I got the sun in my eyes. Trying to scroll through our NetLive page. You can get on there and you can tell us who you think should win the Netties. Who your people are for this year. Had a great comment on there from Tim Kelly. Great post talking about the cornhole game that went on the night before the finals.
And I'm a huge fan.
Cornhole, for those that don't know, a game played with beanbags and boards with a hole.
Think college football. Well, that's where it all started, college football tailgating.
I thought it started with drug
It started
in the
Midwest.
South.
Oh, the South? Was it the South? Okay.
I think so. We have to look up the history of cornhole.
Yeah.
But anyway, you have two boards. You set them quite a ways apart. Your beanbags, of which you have four for each team, are supposed to weigh exactly what a 12-ounce beer weighs. Gives you some idea what's going on. And so you get your beer, you get your cornhole bags, and you throw them, and you're basically playing horseshoes except with beanbags and boards.
Can I tell you what happened early summer? A neighbor of ours, her boyfriend, made me cornhole boards.
Absolutely.
Purple and gold with the Fletch Afro emblem. And the whole block uses them.
That's awesome.
And the purple and gold beanbags.
Well, that's part of the thing is you make your own.
Yeah.
I made my own.
Are they eagles?
Actually,
Longhorns,
they're plain. They're just classic.
Pepperdine or just goofy something from you.
I didn't paint them up. I didn't do any logos on them. I just kind of...
Doesn't shock me.
Yeah.
Just goofy something from you is what you just said.
It wasn't quite as detailed a work as your championship ring, Dieter. It was...
That was a lot of effort you put into that.
That was a lot of grinding on that one. But anyway,
there was
a match. Well, hang on.
Sorry.
In the Bring It promotion suite featuring Joy McKenzie Furbringer, Mike Seeley versus Kevin Hambley and David Niffen.
Just the night before the championship game.
Night before the championship
I did not hear this. They played cornhole. Why
was
that not tweeted or Facebooked or something?
It was on our Facebook page.
I don't get Facebook.
It was on our Facebook page. And fantastic comeback by Mike Seeley. I think it was four bags in the final round in the hole to come back and take the title. I'm looking for it right now.
Hold on. That's very fitting to what happened in the match. I mean, game three, they stole game three and rolled them in game four.
Says event of the year. This is Tim Kelly's event of the year. Mike Seeley draining four bags in a row to beat Kevin Hambley 25-6 in the inaugural pre-final cornhole championship in the BIP suite on December 16th, the night before the finals.
Wow.
Many thanks to Chip McCaw's sister for the official referee action. That's what she's known as. Missy McCaw works
I
for
see
Zamps.
Missy here and
she's
there,
known
yeah.
as Chip McCaw's sister, because that's all Tim Kelly will refer to her as. So, of course, David Niffen and Joey McKenzie Furman are in supporting roles, of course.
See, that's something that the ESPN broadcast should have been talking about.
How was the ESPN broadcast, by the way?
Thought it was okay.
I didn't see it. I was in the suite having burgers and
you know, it's,
paying attention.
You know, I mean, cameras are good. Replays are good. Beth and Karch do their thing. I think what's frustrating for a lot of volleyball fans, if you're watching both matches,
yeah,
both days, it's the same stories over and over again. ESPN is very big on dumbing it down and playing to that audience member that doesn't know what a libero is and doesn't know that there's three out of five. And it gets frustrating for volleyball fans to do the same things over and over again. You know,
it's funny to hear that because they show so much football now.
Listen, I had a guy who's not a volleyball guy watch it. He's a big UCLA fan. Our daughters are friends. And he even said to me, he's like, you know, they explain those things over and over again. He's like, do what I did. If you're into this, just Google something. I mean, you can do that now. You got an iPad in your lap. Whatever. People, there's the, you know, you want to know what a libero is? Do we have to talk about it every time?
Too bad.
The match.
And how much are people who haven't seen it before really sticking around the whole time and watching
you know,
it?
So, you know, and hey, I remember being in those Olympic meetings, and Barney, you were a part of this too as a broadcaster. They know there are millions of people that are watching that don't know anything, and they want you to dummy it down and talk over and over and over again. So it's not the play-by-play or the analyst's fault. You got to realize that. Like, they are told to do that. I've been in these meetings. I've seen it. I've had people tell me myself, and it's frustrating.
Well,
it's really frustrating.
I made this point before. For those that are going to watch the Olympic coverage coming up in 2012, we're going to be on a variety of different networks. We're going to be on NBC. We're going to be on MSNBC. We're going to be all over the place. Bravo, whatnot, right?
Yep.
We broadcast differently for each network. Because if I'm on MSNBC at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the volleyball fan has sought out that material. So we explain less. But when we're doing the men's final
on the on NBC,
14 million people watching. Yeah. No, 15 million people watch that men's final, USA Brazil men day of closing ceremonies.
Sure.
When we're doing that one, we know there's a bunch of people listening that have
totally
never watched volleyball before.
Totally.
So that's when they ask you to explain more. So I know there's lots of people out there getting upset at Karch for explaining the libero again. That's not his call.
No, it's not his
that's
call
the
at
producers
all.
Telling him. Do it again, and to your point about
Absolutely.
ESPN, do it again. And I don't get it because they show so much volleyball at this point. You have to figure that their audience would be reasonably educated,
sure.
But I guess they feel differently. So, hey, we have a caller on the line, and he actually is up for a Netty because I've added a category.
Okay.
I didn't tell you guys.
I love this.
I left it off one of the end of the email because we're going to do it here today. It's NetLive, fifth person of the year.
Ooh, like a Dustin Avall, a Brandon Rosenthal, and Matt Boyce.
That's correct.
Ooh.
Jay Hossack.
Jay Hossack.
In the running. We got to figure out who else is on that list. Who are we forgetting on that list? But we have a guy who's on that list.
Wow.
Matt Boyce. On the air right now.
Adds value.
Hopefully off of work today. Not selling stuff for Dirt Rider. Matt Boyce.
Happy New Year. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to sell myself on not going into Papa Z's for a breakfast burrito.
One more, Matt. It's still 2011.
That's right. It's
the
day off. This is the official holiday, so it's not the new year. You can do whatever you want.
This is true. How are you guys doing?
Good. Are you excited that you are up for a Netty?
I am. I haven't been up for anything since Most Improved in 1996 at Maricosta. So this is Actually, I did get Wave of the Week one time at Pepperdine. I don't know for what, but yeah, this is definitely exciting. I've been off the radar for quite a while, so just tell me whatever I have to do, and I'll do it.
Wave of the Week. What could you have done to win Wave of the Week, boys? Because I don't.
You know,
I
did that. I did that basketball chant. Geeter, remember the one that used to do at Northridge? Is this a ball?
Yes.
I did that for Billy Mack. And I've seen him 14 times since then. He still doesn't remember it. He does remember you, though, Chris. And I think I got Wave of the Week for that.
That is fantastic.
Boyce, what is your most influential headline or biggest headline in the sport of volleyball from this past year, do you think?
Wow. Well, I did tweet after UCLA won that Dan Guerrero should just save the money and make Seeley the head coach of the women's team and the men's football team.
You know, I sat next to Dan Guerrero on the flight back, sat right next to him, talked to him about paying athletes and whatnot. That's a discussion for another day, but interesting to sit right next to UCLA athletic director.
And what he's a good guy. My uncle Gribeno's buddies with him, and he seems like a pretty good guy. Of course, if this coach doesn't work out for the football team, he's going to be at Hofstra or something like that for sure.
This is definitely they're on the hot seat. But I actually think Jim Moore Jr. is going to do a good job. I just think it's a tough place right now, and they got to change the entire culture of that football program. We talk about being in a bad place.
You think it's the players? What is it?
A little bit of both. I mean, it's the players that they got right now. They got to get some, you got to have a quarterback that can, you know. And I love Kevin Prince. He's from my high school, good kid. But nowadays, I mean, you look at all those college teams. They got quarterbacks that can run, that can throw. They're dual threat. They're the best athletes on the field. It's just the way the college game's going.
Hey, in the interest of bringing this all back to volleyball, because it's a volleyball show.
Sure.
Jim Mora Jr. How does he relate to volleyball? Do you know?
Daughter plays.
Okay.
A lot of football coaches' daughters do. I don't know if she does, but I just threw that
out
there.
No, that's not it. You sounded like you knew something.
No,
you
sounded
very confident with that. No, Jim Mora Jr., I got to get the family relation right, but Tom Hoff married to Sandy Mora.
The sister.
The
cousin.
Cousin.
Interesting.
Of Jim Mora.
And now has five offspring? Five girls.
Lovely Christmas card. It's on the front door.
Wow.
When you can't get out later on your way to leave because it's busted. Jeremy nods along. You can check it out. But, yeah, Jim Mora Jr., cousins to Tom Hoff.
Interesting. And, Matt, I'm not sure you caught the early part of the show. Jay Roche was late for the first time, and he's just his mood is not how you're used to seeing him.
Keeps clearing his throat into the microphone just out of anger.
What
was it? Weather?
It was called lack of planning by everybody here except for me. Matt?
We've all been there. We'll be there again.
I'm taking great pleasure, though, in the sun just absolutely crushing Barnett in the face right now.
I can't see anything.
That's what happens when you start this early in the morning.
Matt, your final thought for 2011 heading into 2012?
God, I'm so glad to get out of this year. That's one part of my thought. My last thought is, Barnett, listen up because I know how cheap you are. Give yourself the gift on Pandora of the Patton Oswalt channel. Just give yourself the gift of it.
The what?
And, Patton Oswalt. He was the voice of the rat in Ratatouille. He's got a couple other accolades to his name. He's the funniest. He's beyond funny. And it's free. So I'm going to leave you with that little gift. And when you're in the car, in traffic, driving anywhere, just put the speaker on your iPhone, tune in Pandora to the Patton Oswalt channel, and you can thank me later.
I'm tuning it in right now. Thank you, Matt Boyce.
All right, cheers, guys. Happy New Year.
Hey, Matt, thanks
Happy
for calling
New Year.
In, buddy. Value.
Hi to the wife.
Wife's a better volleyball player than him.
I'm tuning it in right now on my favorite new device. Got an iPad 2 for Christmas.
Yeah.
I can't lie. I'm more than a little stoked.
What did you just do there?
I just threw in Patton Oswalt here.
Nice.
But I tell you, this device is unbelievable, the iPad 2. I mean, I have Apple devices just coming out my ears now in this house. I think we counted them between the kids and everybody. We've got like 10 things.
You know,
keep Apple in business. But
his kids right now are down on the iPad in their rooms, and that's how he keeps them out of the way so we could do our show. Yesterday, very hungover at the McGee house, a rare babysitter got us to go out, and we had a good time on New Year's Eve. But I'll tell you what, when little Millie came into that room at 7 a.m., we just gave her the iPad. We gave her the iPad. I mean, I know that
and you rolled
against,
over.
And we rolled over. She watched Smurfs for hours. What you do, J-Rell?
Sometimes you got to do that. I got no kids, so I don't know, but I would give your kids an iPad, too.
I'm excited.
All right. Listen, we're going to get into the netties when we come back. We're going to get right to it, start naming them off. We'll go through last year's. We'll go through this year's. And we'll talk to Reed also about his situation right now over there in Russia and what's going on. We think he's still hanging in there. We're doing the show early enough that he can be with us for a while.
This is a big year for Reed. This is an Olympic year. They're holding a gold medal. They got to defend it. They got to get there. I mean, this is some big things.
And he's got to do it all.
And he's got to be
it's
the
all
guy.
On his shoulders. That's it.
It's a big year for him. Reed, and the Net Live's taken off.
Reed Pretty or Bust. The Net Live here on TheVolleyballNetwork.com. We'll be right back. DJ Roche, hang on to the music for just a second.
Now that the women's season has wrapped up, make sure you stay tuned to the AVCA website and social media sites for the spring men's volleyball season. Whether it's our weekly blog, top 15 polls, or national players of the week, the American Volleyball Coaches Association remains the central source for everything men's volleyball. So check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at AVCA Volleyball all season long.
Shots out the wreck, movie shoot. Grand Hustle Champion, all I do is call them up. You can start conversations up to make them talk and stuff. If she ain't ready, you can't even walk with her. CLM, she'll blunt wider than a coffee cup. You know it's B.O., I do this for the people. Stack and C-No, pockets on C-Lo. I'm killing the mama, I'm talking hockey mad. I do it to death, swag on body bag. Speed is out of here, it's gone. Farewell, so long, so long. I'm sayonara, the way I'm gone. So far away, it ain't no signal on my phone. When I hit the bars like this, everybody knows who we are. Who would have thought I would have took it this far? Play the guitar. 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 Three bouts, play the guitar. Three bouts, play the guitar.
I keep having this reoccurring image where I'm standing on top of Church's chicken playing guitar. Look over and I see B.O.B. with his strength cigar. He's standing on top of Dunkin' Donuts just like he own it. We at the corner of Gear to him and they don't want it. We out here somewhere in me and Europe, they out here joining. My
welcome back in to Net Live here on TheVolleyballNetwork.com. Appreciate you being here. If you want to connect with us during the week, I want you to check out the Net Live at gmail.com. That's our address. Or facebook.com/TheNetLive. Kevin Barnett sitting in the home court. Sun is finally fading out of my face as I have DJ Roche and Chris McGee here at the table next to me. We also have Reed Pretty over there in Russia. Reed, we know last year on this show, this particular Netty show, you were getting ready for a 12-hour train ride out into the middle of nowhere in Russia. This year, are you doing any better?
No train rides yet. But, yeah, we travel tomorrow. We've got a power-packed January with, like, 7 or 8 matches. It's been no rest for the weary on this end. But happy to be here with you guys.
Well, yeah, you guys have a very compressed schedule this year because all the professional leagues have altered their schedules based on the Olympics, correct?
It's true. It's crazy because our regular season is going to finish, like, I don't know, February, the first week of February. So it's extremely early this year, but then they're going to, I'm sure, now that Russia has already qualified, I'm really, really hoping that they don't change things and they keep it condensed. Because, yeah, we've got Olympic qualification tournament right at the beginning of May. So there's really not a lot of time between the two.
Now you mentioned qualification. We have not had an opportunity to speak to you since World Cup. Tell us about that event, the United States finishing 6th, of course, a disappointment as you were hoping to qualify by finishing in the top 3. It seemed like you guys had your chances in a lot of key matches, and in some other matches you kind of got dominated by teams that were playing better.
Yeah, I think we talked about it a little bit a few weeks ago. It was definitely extremely disappointing, and I think that our team continues to sort of underachieve, and it's you know, nobody likes it. Nobody that's a part of the team, none of the players, none of the staff, and I'm sure not the fans are happy with what's gone on the last 3 years since the gold medal. So right now, you know, just like Geeter, you mentioned, you know, it'd be great to think about trying to defend a gold medal, but at this point, we've got our work cut out for us just to get there. So hopefully, we can just all be healthy come May, and things can just be timed right.
Well, that's certainly an issue. You guys are all embarking on professional seasons, Italy, Turkey, Russia, all over the place, Brazil. Guys need to come back healthy, and I think that's one of the things that really has – I know Coach Allen Knipes felt like he's been held back by that a bit, and the team's been held back by that over the, not this year, but the year before with injuries. And, of course, your own injury, your freak injury this year with your face getting crushed in by Max Holt. I mean, that was kind of ill-timed. And how are you doing with that?
You know, I don't think our teams had to endure anything else that other teams aren't dealing with, too. So, you know, I don't think that's really a valid excuse. You know, we just got to figure out how to put the pieces together and build on a system. And, you know, everybody, all hands are on deck, that's for sure. Going into 2012, my face and vision is back to 100%. So I'm extremely, extremely thankful for that. There were some dark moments in October, that's for sure, when I was trying to I was actually on the court competing and wasn't able to see some of the serves coming at me. So I'm extremely grateful and thank God every day that I can still play.
Was that scary, Reed, in terms of like, man, when's this going to get better and you've never been in situations like that?
It was super scary. I mean, just to stop and think, you know, late at night, am I going to be the same player that I once was? Is this the end? You know, that gray area is really tough to fight through. And thankfully, heading back to the national team was right at the right time because there's a lot more affirmation that takes place from player to player when you're playing on the national team. You know, we've played together for years, some of us a decade, and there's a lot more feedback and interaction and affirmation and encouragement and support, I guess, from one player to the next. And so that was a very positive timing aspect for the World Cup in that aspect.
Well, good stuff, Reed. We know that the talent is there in the gym for qualification. As you mentioned, it's going to be a tough road. The United States facing Cuba, basically, in the Norseca zone. Some people have talked about Puerto Rico because they've had some success lately, but I don't really believe that they're truly a threat for that Norseca crown and that Olympic spot. The Olympics works like this. Three teams from World Cup, the host, so that's four total. Great Britain will field a team. They will not be, I don't think, a factor in the medal count. That's four. Then you have five zone championships that will go on. The United States will happen in Puerto Rico in May. I believe it's May 11th. That tournament gets underway, 11th through the 20th. Those will take place. That'll be five more teams, so that's nine. And then you will have three tournaments. They will go on in early June, actually in conjunction with the Asian zone championship. It will happen, and winners of each of those tournaments will qualify. So the United States men left with two opportunities to qualify, one through the Norseca zone in May. If they fail there, they will have an opportunity in June. I expect we will see you guys, Reed, in the Olympics, but at this point, the unknown, kind of like you're talking about yourself laying awake at night wondering if you're going to be the same player, the unknown has to be there for USAV and even the players, but the coaching staff for sure, about what actually will occur in qualification. It would have been nice to put that one to bed.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think when you look at the London Olympics, USA volleyball in general is in just tremendously strong position. You've got the women that have just done really, really well and in a great position to medal, if not contend for the gold medal. And then, of course, on the beach side, you've got the men's and women's teams, both one and two, really strong with a great shot to win that. And so there's potential for USA volleyball to medal in every discipline. And, gosh, we believe that we have the talent, and it's just about playing the game and putting it together. And we've talked about it a ton on this program that it's the best team that wins. It's not individuals and it's not individual performances, but it's the ability to have a group of people come together and play together, and that the systems went out, and so we hope that we can strengthen our system and kind of be right up there with the other disciplines in this Olympic Games.
Reed?
Jeter?
I'm attracted to you.
What the?
I'm just kidding. No, I'm just proud. I'm proud of Reed, and I'm proud of what he does. And, you know, I feel like you're talking like a true captain, and it's appreciated, man. It happens in all sports, and I feel like people miss this a lot, that journey and that process. There's so much more that goes into it than just wins and losses. And for you guys, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. And you hit on something really interesting to me that you would love to be able to focus on defending a gold medal, but really the focus has got to be getting there first and to take responsibility and say that, hey, all teams are in the same boat as us. No excuses. It's time to get in the gym and work is something that should be applauded.
It's just like Jeremy not being an overnight star, not being an overnight sensation. He's been at the Clippers for 10 years, working hard, DJing every night, and Bill Plaschke only just noticed.
That's all good.
No, but seriously, though, I mean, teams, people are always trying to look for excuses or you know, skip parts of the journey, and this is just part of theirs that, you know, it's not the way that they would want to go, but, you know, when they do get the Olympic Games, they're definitely going to be riding the high because they would have had to have qualified, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Hey, the good news for them is that the talent's in the gym. You can't say that about a lot of teams that are out there. The talent is not in the gym for a lot of teams. Great Britain, let's say, for instance, they're going to play in the Olympics, they're qualified. They know the talent's not in the gym to medal. The United States knows the talent's in the gym to medal. They don't need some outside force necessarily. It's possible for them to medal with the group that they have. Now, there could be some adjustments made. You can add some personnel. You can take some personnel away. You can make some decisions about those personnel to improve what's there. But they've proven in World Cup or in World Cup, in World League, that they can play with the best teams in the world. They've also proven they can lose to almost anyone in the world at any time, which that's the part that's got to get cleaned up.
Reed, how do you think you guys handled the pressure of this moment? I mean, is it talked about? Is it something that you have to go rely on past situations that you've been in?
Well, it's a totally different group of guys right now. Even though there's a pretty strong core from 08, you know, six guys that were on the court, eight guys that heavily contributed, and then we've got about another six guys that are seeing some significant time that are new to this quad. This will be their first basically Olympic experience. And I really believe the talent's there. Obviously, you know, we're trying to figure things out offensively. And I think, you know, one of the major things that I notice about how long a particular player will stay in the program is their ability to learn. And especially to learn from your mistakes. I mean, yes, any professional athlete, I would think, I'm certainly in that category, you lose way more than you win. And it's your ability to get through those losses and to learn to make sure that you don't make those mistakes again. And I think as a gym right now, we're struggling to take what we need to take from each experience to build towards something. And, you know, we seem to be and that's why I think, you know, you guys have seen it and our fans have seen it, just a real inconsistent play. You know, one match we're just totally dialed in and you know, people are, and we're feeling like we can be podium contenders. And then, you know, the next night it's a different team. And it's certainly not a lack of effort. Everyone's putting in all that they have. It's just going to be a matter of you don't win the Olympics by accident. That's for sure. And so we're going to have to take advantage of every single rep this summer as it's a condensed summer and we're getting in pretty late, you know.
Speaking of setters, I see in the chat board, first time I've ever seen that, there's Jason Stimpfig.
Figgy? Is someone using his name, or do you think that's really Fig?
It's up to him to confirm or deny.
I'm going
to
say Jason Stimpfig, in my generation, the best defensive setter to play in the Weaver. That's what it used to be called, by the way, Barney.
That's right, the Weaver.
I still call it the Weaver.
Western Intercollegiate
Volleyball Association. Greatest name ever. Yeah. Figgy was a great dude, good leader, baller, great defender, won a national championship, by the way. Long Beach State. Mighty USC Trojans. Beat Ivy and Greenbaum when they were the best team trying to defend their title. They went over to Hawaii in the Final Four, and Fig, along with Schroeder and Knipe.
It's me.
That's it is him. Yeah, that team.
Now, is it Jason Mulholland? Is that the opposite
Frenchie? Jason Mulholland was – a little story about Jason Mulholland.
Gigantic, 6'10",
can't jump a lick. He was the opposite that came in basically after Ivy.
Okay.
The crazy one, when I was a freshman in the year Ivy's team actually won the national championship, I was a redshirt freshman. We played SC, and it was the first year there was a game five that was a rally score. So four games were regular score, side-out score, and then it went to rally score.
Did it used to
and
be
there was
another...
a 17-point cap. We played SC the first round at the Matadome in the playoffs. That's where regionals were that year.
Yeah.
And we lost 17-16. And Ivy didn't play in that game. A guy named Leon DeRocher did. And he had 44 kills. They set him that final ball, 16-16, and he squeaked it through our block, and the game ended 17-16. The next year, they added no cap. There was a cap at 17 in rally score. How brutal was that?
Interesting.
So
that's right.
That's a little history
time.
For you. There that was God, I hate to say this. That was spring of 90. Was my redshirt freshman year.
I was 2 years away from playing volleyball at that point, actually. But I love hearing more stories about you and other people winning national championships.
I don't know if that was called for. I don't know if that was cool, but that's just you.
Speaking of awards, let's get on to our 2011 Netties. This is our annual awards presentation where we go through some of the biggest names, some of the biggest disappointments, some of the most influential events and headlines of the year. We're glad that everybody's here this year. Last year, Geeter, it's just you and me sitting up here in the loft talking amongst ourselves.
You know, one of the greatest headlines, I think, in all of volleyball, even though we're not there yet, is Jay Roche joining the Net Live.
That was definitely Net Live headline of the year.
Yeah.
Agree 100%.
All right, now he's back. He's feeling better. All right, so the categories this year.
I still hate you, in case you're wondering.
Most influential volleyball event, Team USA Player of the Year, Headline of the Year, Issue that will be most influential in 2012.
I'm so nervous.
Actually, I wrote 2011 here. It's always confusion with this stuff. Maybe Kevin kills children during broadcast. Maybe that will be the most influential headline. Number five, biggest disappointment of 2011. And then person of the year. And then we just added that last category. You guys got to give it some thought. Fifth man of the year here on the Net Live. In the running, Rosenthal, Boyce, Aval, and Hosak.
It's like a sixth man of the year award. You
right.
know, for hoops.
Right, but we have a fifth man.
Yeah.
It's beautiful because that's how many people we have. So.
Can I have a sheet like that, or are those your answers?
These are my answers right here. Do you have your answers somewhere?
This is an unfair show. He, like, totally prepared and then, like, emailed us at midnight, hey, we're having a show. But, you know what I mean? He kind of – he wanted this to be his show, didn't he? I'm trying to get you on my side.
No, so. I know you are, and it's not working because you were the one that suggested 8:30 this morning.
I know. Good point.
Hi, Reed. I still like you.
Most influential volunteer event. 2012.
Ooh, I like that one.
The show on at 8:30 in the morning for the first show. That was DJ Roche's answer next year. All right, so let's get to it. Most influential volleyball event of this past year. I'll start, and we'll go around the horn here. So I had most influential volleyball event, thinking of all the different headlines that occurred. I mean, Misty and Carrie came to mind. Some of the big stuff as far as qualification goes, people getting hurt, people being added to teams, all that kind of stuff, success for some of the teams. I went with scrapping of trials process for beach volleyball.
As the biggest
headline.
Headline or event? Which one are we on right now? I'm confused.
Most influential volleyball event.
Okay.
Sorry, did I say event?
Well, Geeter just
good start. Good
okay.
start.
Yeah. We're back.
So this is most influential volleyball event, scrapping of trials process for beach volleyball. I just felt like that was something that offered volleyball another opportunity for exposure. I thought it was something that made sense from the sport standpoint, from the promotion of the sport standpoint, and it just got messy. It got messy with people who claimed they were doing stuff for the sport when in reality they were doing stuff for them. And in the end, everybody capitulated and said, all right, we won't have a trials process. And I hope that that's not the case in the following 4 years. I hope we have a trials process for 16 for Rio. But I thought that was a pretty big event, an influential event for this last year. Geeter.
I was not at the AVCA convention, but from what it sounds like to me, from people I talk to, and just showcasing our sport, especially at the women's college level, and talking to people outside of our sport that are friends of mine that kind of got hooked on volleyball a little bit during that time, saying to me, women's volleyball in college is the premier women's sport. It should be showcased like hoops. Women's hoops is actually easier to view, better to view, more fun. So I liked hearing that. So I'd have to put that up there. Since I wasn't there, it's not the one for me. The most influential volleyball event for me personally because I was there and you were right next to me, was the Manhattan Open, because it was the first time I think I really felt the normalcy that I used to feel, the energy and the vibe from the people, that live TV feeling. I felt like our sport was, and when I say our sport, I'm saying beach volleyball was still relevant. You know, I'm a guy that loves both the indoor and the beach games, and I'm still tied to both of them. But the Manhattan Open to me, because of, and Barney was, you know, was here last year, and I was a different guy in December last year. I mean, it was so much negativity, and I was just pissed at volleyball, and it sent me off to whether I'm back next this summer or not, and I have no idea what my future holds. It was kind of a, like, you know what, this felt good, it felt right. The players had come back and played in it, you know, the Kessie and April Raw. That part for me just felt like, maybe there's a future again. So for me, that was the most influential moment because I was there and it was close to me.
Last year, I said for most influential volleyball event was the IMG USAV Tour being announced. So right along those lines. And you said last year that the runner-up was the Net Live, which I liked. But then you also said six-man due to the press surrounding it and the scene and kind of the gathering of the volleyball world into a party that extended its reach and its notoriety outside of just the volleyball community.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the six-man later, hint, hint. But, yeah, that was last year, I thought, for me, a big one.
All right, Reader, most influential volleyball event in 2011?
I wasn't there, but just following media, I thought the women's Final Four, it seemed to get some good TV coverage with the T rating. There was volleyball and athletes trending on Twitter, and of course they made SportsCenter. So I thought that those were all positive things moving in the right direction for just being out there and being a great representation for our sport and a good sign for the future.
I like that. I like that call about making SportsCenter. That was
a couple times this year, actually.
Yeah, a couple times for a long rally with Penn State or something early in the year.
That was like a North Carolina Duke, a random long rally, but
like
that rally to end the match for Illinois SC was pretty spectacular because of the plays that were made. I remember that Duke North Carolina rally. It wasn't like there was that many awesome plays. There was a couple covers that were cool and maybe some games.
Yeah.
But this was high level bombs and
to go to the finals.
To go to the finals. It's a pretty good moment.
Epic moment. DJ Roche, did you have time for picks?
Oh, I did, buddy. I woke up at 6 a.m. Just kidding.
biggest disappointment of 2011 category later will be the show at 8:30.
Exactly. I wasn't there either, but the convention from, even though I was halfway across the world, I looked online, talked to some people that were there, and I just feel like it's one of those that, even if it's that convention's predominantly for the women, but you have volleyball people from all walks of life, beach, indoor, men, women, and they're all there talking about it, and the fact that it's getting publicity helps everybody. But for me personally, it was the Manhattan Beach Open, because like Eater said, it felt like what we were used to in all the years being there.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I don't know how
I...
much of an influence it was, but it felt normal.
Yeah, and on a personal level, I mean, the two of us have worked together a long, long time, and to be honest with you, we had talked about it on this show and on the phone together. We figured we'd probably never get to work together again.
Yep.
You know, so for that to come together and it to feel right was big.
Yeah, I think the AVCA convention, it continues to grow. And DJ, to what you just said, it's not just a women's event. In fact, the convention itself and the days leading up to the Women's Final Four is not a women's event. It is a volleyball event. And you talk to coaches who are around, they need to come to this thing. I mean, the clinics that are there, the access you have to the great coaches on the men's and women's side and the international game. If you're a high school coach, go to this thing. Spend the money. It's a boatload of fun. You'll meet people. You'll talk to people. Where else can you just find Russ Rose holding court right outside of the hotel?
I'm telling you, Barney, in the college sports, the men's Final Four hoops is huge, and everyone goes to it, all coaches, and it's just what you do. It's a party. It's really fun. The women's volleyball Final Four is getting like that. I don't see the hoopla around the women's Final Four in hoops except on TV. Like, I don't hear about it in my circles, but I hear about volleyball from outside people. I mean, it's getting bigger in terms of that Final Four weekend. That convention is huge. You're right. I mean, where else can you just see Russ Rose, you know, hanging out? You can go pick his brain.
Dude, I walked outside the hotel, and you have Russ Rose sitting under a umbrella with a heater going, and he's got the cigar in hand, yeah. And he's got like 8 or 10 people around him. And you can sit down.
He's just holding court.
It doesn't matter who you are. If you're some college coach from nowhere, if you're some high school coach from the air, sit down.
Honestly,
if you're a volleyball fan, sit down.
You can go to a guy like Mick Haley, who's coaching in the Final Four, and start talking to him about volleyball, and you're going to get a response from him.
Absolutely.
And he's going to spend some time with you. And there's no other place that happens in our sport.
No, absolutely. It's a fantastic environment for volleyball people, not just women's volleyball. You get the advantage of getting a chance to go to the match and see the highest level that the United States has to offer on a consistent basis in the women's NCAA events. And you should be there. If you're a coach, you should be there. Good one, DJ. Team USA Player of the Year. Now, I want to recap what people said last year. It was Geeter and I up here for the 2010 Netties. I said Clay Stanley. Again, had a great world championships, kind of medium year, great world championships. Geeter, you went with Phil Dahlhauser. So it was 2 6-10 bangers.
Yeah.
Getting it done and being named Team USA Player of the Year by you and I last year.
And remember, Phil Dahlhauser and Todd Rogers had one of the best years maybe of all time
ever.
On the FIVB Tour and domestic. I mean, ever. And Phil was as dominant as I'd ever seen him, without a doubt.
I remember watching him at Huntington for a match or two, and I could not believe
how
much better he was than anybody else they put across from him. And that was Hyden Scott, who was a team that actually beat him a few times that year. But just dominating him.
Mm-hmm.
If you serve Phil, you may as well just forget it. Back up, stand back, let him bounce it, and then go back side out.
Yeah, he was like serving himself. He would jump serve, get the overpass, and bomb it. I mean, it was like he was touching it twice out of the three touches.
This is absolutely crazy. Unbelievable by Phil Dahlhauser. So that was last year.
You want me to go first? Or?
Team USA Player of the Year 2011, Chris McGee.
Okay. Phil and Todd had a great year, but I think by their standards and Phil rolling his ankle, Todd getting hurt at the end of the year, it wasn't the year that I think they expected. And I know those guys know what the Olympic year coming up. 2010 was really important for them. 11 was important just to get into that qualification spot, but 2012 is when they're going to peak. This was a tough one for me. I tend to go with the beach. Barney knows so much more about the indoor kids. So I thought about Kessie Ross because of what they've been able to do, but they're still just – a little inconsistent for me. They're a team that can win any tournament, but and they are gold medal contenders, but I just couldn't separate one of them to be the player of the year. So who I went with was Kerry Walsh Jennings, and here's why.
Okay.
The way she's come back from having two kids, the shape she's in, and of course I'm closer to it because we're doing a documentary on her, but the time, the effort with those two kids, the discipline – the way she's handling it, she's stronger than ever. They might not have had the year that people thought Misty and Kerry should have, but they won a lot of tournaments. They won some big ones, Klagenfurt. And I think she solidified herself as that dominant presence once again. I think Misty is going to be the one in 2012 that's going to get him back to the gold. I think Misty's going to come back stronger than ever. She had to work on consistency getting back in. She got dinged up as well. But I think Kerry deserves it for this year.
Is she going Kerry Walsh Jennings? Please no.
She's Kerry Walsh volleyball wise, but is Kerry Jennings when she's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just no more hyphens, please. It's so hard on the announcers for crying out loud. Mouthful.
Ooh, I like Killian's here.
All right, Kerry Walsh, good call. DJ, let's go to you. Team USA Player of the Year.
Reed Pretty.
I wondered if Reed Pretty was going to get a vote.
And
I like it.
Not just because he's here.
I
always want to vote for him for a lot of things, but Barney shuts me down, so I feel weird about it. But that's a great one.
Oh, so
Kevin
true.
Can't shut me down because I'm mad at him right now, so he's trying to be on my good side still.
Okay. So Reed Pretty.
I'd say Reed. I mean, it just not only because he had a broken face and had to come back from that, but he's leading a team that's pretty much new, and there's controversy is not the word I'm looking for, but lots of I'm so blanking right now, it's too early. Lots of new things to deal with, new team, new coaches. Challenges, thank you. The expectations of what the men's indoor team is expecting.
And he had to
wear
a Silence of the Lambs mask.
Had to wear that and the Phantom of the Opera mask.
Phantom of the Outside Hitter.
Outside Hitter, exactly. So I think I give it to Reed. I mean, he's had to deal with a lot and still playing at a high level. And especially now, like when I see indoor, everybody he's playing against is like 6'12", and he's still smashing balls between them.
And I'm going to jump in and say one thing. For you to talk about indoor makes me so
like
proud.
That, don't
you?
You
knew nothing.
He's been on the show.
Left.
You can tell he's been.
You actually know what you're talking about now.
I know.
Well said.
Thank you.
So, Reed Pretty, after your acceptance speech, we'll take your pick for our Team USA Player of the Year.
Well, thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate that. I went with Destiny Hooker. I think that for them to win like that, you got to have a great team, and you have to have great players on your team, and they have that. And she has those great players around her, like Logan Tom, Jordan Larson, Luca, Bowen, Berg, et cetera. She's got an awesome – there's an awesome team, but her ability to terminate the ball is special. And so she gets my vote.
I like that pick. Destiny Hooker was on our convention show. Go back and check it out. We had a nice interview with her. She was at home in San Antonio. Her dad, Ricky, walking around with a sweet hat.
I knew she would get a vote from someone. I just – she's, you know, that kind of a player and the impact she's made.
For me, she's not the complete player yet.
Yeah.
She's doing a great job. I take nothing away from what she's doing. She's doing things physically that other teams can't even
cope
with.
She might be our 2012 if things go as people think.
I think so. The thing she's got to clean up, she's got to be a better server. Mm-hmm. She's got to be a defensive presence. The offensive part of the game
is off the charts.
It's unbelievable. It's really fantastic. But I she's progressing in those other areas. It's not a criticism of her. It's just, I think, where she's at.
Yeah.
So, great pick. I think that's a fantastic pick. I had a couple of players on here. I got to go with second Lindsey Berg.
Yeah.
I thought Lindsey Berg,
which is on our chat room, too.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Killian threw that one in there. I think that Berg had a fantastic year. I thought we talk about what Destiny Hooker can do physically. Lindsey Berg, I thought, made the biggest difference for everybody. And maybe a setter is the only position where that can happen. But, hey, keep it down there.
What other talk show in America? That's what makes us so unique.
Yeah. Sorry, I had a break there. Guys, not quite so loud. It's the last day of Christmas break there. But I thought the center is the only spot where that can really happen, where they can really affect the entire game. And I thought Lindsey Berg coming back and running an offense, the way that she distributed the ball, the calm with which she approaches the game, made a big difference for that team and their success this past season. But I went with Team USA Player of the Year for me. I went with Matt Anderson. And it's in a very big redemption for him, for me anyway. He was my 2009 biggest disappointment of the year because there were so much expectations on this kid, and he came in and he just kind of disappeared. I thought he finished really strong this year. I thought he had a great season. I thought that he delivered on some of the promise of what he could be at that outside hitter spot, that big stick that the men's team really has been searching for. They need somebody outside of Clay Stanley to kill high balls. I thought his passing held up pretty well at World Cup. I think he's going the right direction. Similar to Hooker, he's not there yet, but I really feel like he's on the path to be an impact player for next year. And so I think I'll give him Player of the Year for this year.
I like that one because of what you said. He was your biggest disappointment before. You're a guy that's, you know, been critical of him. But you've praised him when he's done the right things.
Even when I was critical of him, I said, look, I'm absolutely critical of him because this kid could be unbelievable. He has the tools to really be fantastic at the game.
That's a good one.
And so that's why I've been so bummed out. You look at the guy and the way he hits out of the back row and the way he can hit the ball fast on the left, and you go, geez, let's get this going. Let's get this guy jumping high and crushing high balls, and let's have him really impact the game. I thought he made some steps toward that in this past World Cup. So hopefully that plays out. DJ Roche, can you spin us to a break real quick?
Without a doubt.
All right, spin us up. We still have headline of the year to come, issue that will be most influential in 2012, biggest disappointment of 2011, and person of the year, and also the fifth man of the year award for this show. So then at live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com, we appreciate you being here. Full house, all four hosts. And your calls, if you want to call in, if you have an opinion on this stuff, 347-677-1525 is the number. We'll take your calls. Reed Pretty is screening. You actually get to talk to Reed Pretty. More to come. Right back.
I'm
I see Reed pogoing right now, up and down in his apartment.
This is my remix, by the way. Shameless plug by me.
DJ Roche, if people want to check out your remixes, where should they go?
DJRoche.com.
If they want to get a shirt for the Net Live, where should they go?
ValaClothing.com. V-A-L-A Clothing.com.
All right.
How did the shirt sell in at the convention, by the way?
Yeah.
Sold out. Awesome. Love it. Good job, Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Hey, we are going to get to more netties. We've gone through most influential volleyball event of 2011. We've gone through Team USA Player of the Year. We have quite a few categories to go. But we do have a caller calling in. Mr. McGee.
Is he on? Is this confirmed?
It looks like him. It's a 3-9 cell phone.
Perfect. This is a nice surprise. There was a late text to this young man who we called earlier a star in our profession. In only his second year as a head coach, captures a national championship for his alma mater, UCLA. Of course, he won a national championship as a player in 1993 and now as a coach in 2011. And I've said it here, and I'll say it again, one of the best coaching jobs I have ever seen from a staff was UCLA this year. That run they had was... calling us Italy, Mike Seale. Seale, what's up, bud?
I think that you've got my phone. He's listening on a different line. This is TK.
TK, we love you.
We have both. We have both.
Yeah, we do have both. TK, we're doing a new award this year. It's kind of like our fifth player award. You are kind of in the running for that because you've added value to the show. So just know that.
Well, I appreciate that.
You know, you probably won't win.
Hey, Seeley's on hold on the other line. Can you patch him in?
Everybody's in right now. Everybody's on.
I don't believe you.
There we go.
Hey, Mike, TK just took away your greatest intro of all time.
I heard it. It was okay. I heard better.
First of all, Mike, congratulations. And what are you doing in Italy?
I'm on Mr. Tim Kelly's Bring It Promotion Coaches Symposium. I was over here with Russ Rose and a couple of Italian coaches kind of cruising around, having a good time, talking volley.
You feel like you're back in the old playing days, spending New Year's and Christmas over there in Europe?
If walking around kind of freezing and drinking a bunch of coffee, yes, I do. Exactly the same.
I remember walking around with you and TK right around New Year's, actually, in Amsterdam, doing the same.
I was there.
New Year's in Bologna, it was about one-tenth of the Amsterdam, so we kept telling everyone if they thought this was crazy, they should have seen the dam back in 98.
Yeah, with batteries of firecracker rockets tipping over and shooting at us, so we had to take cover on the bridge.
Seals and I can tell stories from that night for hours and hours. We'll do that for a different show.
$1,300 credit card roulette. Yeah.
Mike, let's talk about the run you guys were on. And I know you've been around the sport a long time, but really remarkable. At what point, or did you ever feel like this team was really capable of winning the national championship?
Early in the season, I thought we were good enough, and we kind of hit the skids, and I was a little nervous, like, not that we peaked early, but, you know, the wheels had fallen off the bus, and I wasn't sure if we could get it back, and then it just, you know, we just kind of got, I don't want to say lucky, I mean, the girls obviously worked hard, we just got in one of those dream runs where, like, everyone keeps asking, like, did you think you could do it, and in hindsight, you know, the brain kind of turned off, and it was literally one game at a time, and you weren't even thinking winning or losing, and it just rolled.
Mike, did you ever think that, I remember when you took that job, we all thought you were a few years away. Are you surprised, I think I should ask, that this team that you kind of put together, came together so quickly in terms of the chemistry and your system?
I think we're fortunate in the sense that some of those super dominant teams like what Penn State had a few years ago and kind of what Texas was rolling with a couple of years ago, there just weren't those teams this year. So by no means do I want to, you know, underestimate what we were able to do. But there just didn't seem to be that dominant team. It seems like every team had something exploitable. The big teams that were really, really physical maybe didn't have the ball control to back it up. Some of the ball control teams didn't have the physicality. So it was just, you know, 10 teams could have won it this year. We were just lucky to have gotten on a pretty good streak at the right time. I thought the one thing we had is we passed the ball so well and we played volleyball really well that we frustrated a lot of teams that were more physical. I think they were used to really running off points, and we kind of made them stay there inside out for long amounts of time. And I think they just didn't have the patience to stay and play for 2 hours.
Mike, Rachel Kidder and you and I have talked off air about this. She spent a couple years in our club, so we both know this player well. Talk about her progression and just how proud you were, because I know I was, of just her being able to elevate the game when needed and being the MVP of Final Four. I mean, that's really something special. And if you know this kid, you know how long of a road it's been.
Yeah, you know, she's been asked to do more and more every year. I always tease her. She's like Harry Potter in the first movie, has all the talents but doesn't believe it, doesn't want to believe it, can't believe it. So there's a part of her that is very confident, and I think she knows that she's good, but at the same time is uncomfortable being good and wants to stay out of the limelight, and it just doesn't make sense to her that she can be that dominant. So it was nice for her to come into her own a little bit.
The setting that you had with Van Orden, I mean, it's funny. I talked to Joy on the phone recently, and she said she just couldn't believe how smart she became as a setter. She didn't know she'd ever been around a setter that improved that much. You know what, Mike? Everyone always thought that might be your Achilles heel. When it got down to it at the end of the year in the Final Four, she was the best location-wise.
What? I'm sorry, one more time at the end. I heard everything up until the last.
At the end of the year in that Final Four, she was the best setter in terms of location and running the offense.
Every great match that we played this year was all because of her. And, you know, at the same time, when we struggled, there was nights where she wasn't on. You know, I thought that we were a good team, but she had the ability to make us great. I thought her choices were good. She's one of the few setters I saw that year that had such an offensive cadence in her release that it actually looked like an offense. There's a lot of great setters, and they set a very good hittable ball. There's something about it in the rhythm of her setting that our hitters were able to get in sync with. Yeah, she was fantastic.
Mike, there's been a lot of talk about the setter. There's been a lot of talk about Kidder, but one person who impressed me and I thought took a couple of really important swings, quite a few important swings down the stretch, was Tabby Love. Talk about the addition of her to your team and how important she was.
Yeah, you know, it seems like in the past few years, the team that had two left sides that could bring heat were the ones that were going far in the tourney. So I knew, you know, luckily for us, we have amazing ball control kids, and, you know, Boyana comes in the back row for Tabby and really takes care of the ball control portion, and Tabby's just allowed to go out there and hit and block. She hits a very, very heavy ball.
You know, Mike, I think when you see great finals or a team wins national championships, you remember certain games. The game that sticks out for me as the viewer was really the third set. You know, you almost had that feeling of stealing it a little bit, you know, where it was like all of a sudden you had that advantage up 2-1, and there was just no stopping you guys after that. What was your feeling when you kind of grabbed that game three from their hands?
You know, after losing set two in that way of having a substantial lead and getting stuck in one rotation and just wheels falling off the bus and then coming out slow in set three, you know, it just really reminds you, like, the difference between losing in the second round of the tourney and making it to the Final Four is nothing. The difference between winning and losing the final, it's nothing. We literally, you know, helped give away set two and came out really flat. You go from almost being up two sets to nothing and cruising to, you know, 1 point away from being down 1-2. And really, really struggling.
What did you
like
say
I
at
said,
the
you know,
break, Mike? When you were,
it was,
you know,
interesting. You know, I look back at this, and this was a huge moment for me. I realized that when we hit the skids and we lost three of our last five in league, we were up at Oregon 23-14 and
oh, wow.
Barely won that set 26-24, and I lost my noodle in the timeout in between sets. I went in, I lost my composure, and I kind of snapped on the girls. And that absolutely shut them down. We blown out the rest of that match, and we went on a skid. And all of a sudden, the same exact thing happens, except we lose the match. And to be able to go into that break and say, hey, girls, you know, I'm pretty confident we're in control of this match. You know, it's a bummer we got stuck in row one, but don't worry about it. You know, I feel really confident we move forward. And all of a sudden, the same situation, I reacted better and more composed. And I think the team was more composed. So it was great for me, so I can get rid of all the guilt of putting us on that bad stretch. But it was a nice learning and growing moment for myself.
Hey, that's great stuff, and thank you for sharing that. You know, you said you're with Russ Rose. You see how difficult it is, Mike. You got to get lucky. You got to be good. You got to get the matchups to win a national championship. Now that he's done it four times in a row and you were the guy to knock him out, how much more respect do you have for Russ and what he's gone through?
Oh, it's unbelievable. He's unfortunately raised the bar for all of us to a level that's just not doable. you know, as soon as I got back to UCLA after it was all done, walking through the office the next day, the first three people said, hey, congrats, you got the pieces ready for next year? And I was like, dude, give me a month. Give me a week. Give me something. And it hasn't really set in yet. It's still pretty surreal. But right away, they want to know about the next one and the next one. So Mike, thanks, Russ, for nothing.
Mike, I want to know who... I want to know who sent you the first text. Because I queued one up.
I had one ready, too.
Sitting up there, and I hit you with one at... I've got 7:53. Congrats, dude. Incredible. What do you got on there, Geeter? You got a
I don't know. No, I didn't save it because I got a new phone, but I was... I think I sent it like he was up in the fourth because I wanted to be the first guy. I know how many he got because he's so good at returning
text.
Got
to be hundreds.
No, Seals is really good at it. And he was so good.
Back.
He was so good during.
No, you're saying that, but there's probably a handful of people listening that I love and adore that didn't get one back, and now they're going to be all bent out of shape now.
Yeah, no, none of us did. No, my whole point was this. None of us got one back, I think, because he just had too many.
His
at least that's what I'm going
his
with.
His phone might have been in the pocket, in the locker room, just smoking.
Just, yeah, buzzing. Bzz. No, but hey, I heard there was a huge cornhole match that really set the tone. You hit four maybe in a row cornholes to really come back against Hambly and Niff. That really set the tone for the national championship.
Yeah, you know, we were up in TK Suite for the Bring It Promotion Suite, and we're playing a little cornhole. And, you know, I was sitting up there, and I went with my whole staff. Cause at some point, the work's done. You know, you're playing for the title the next day, but you've done your matchups. You've done your rotations. You've watched all the videos. There's nothing left to do with stress. We decided to get out of the hotel, go for a walk, head over to TK's suite. So I was sitting there, and Dave showed you there. We're just sitting around, and all of a sudden, Hambly walks in. Like, the door busts open. It's Hambly and Russ Rose and all his entourage. So I made Dave swell up a little bit and say, hey, Hambles, you got your entourage. You know, you got your muscle. I got mine. Let's do this. And then ended up, yeah, me and Hambly were on one side, Joy and Niffin on the other. We went head-to-head, and I did go four Drano in a row to end it.
Now, I keep hearing about, and Kevin shared with us this earlier because he was there and talked about how remarkable it was, but I have heard from numerous people that were at your speech. First of all, congratulations on getting Coach of the Year. Were you surprised, number one? But then talk about your speech a little bit, and I just heard about the composure and the funny parts of it, just, you know, how special that moment was for you.
Kind of a blur. It's funny. That's one of those other things that early in the year when we were having a good season and some people were mumbling about it, you know, that young ego part of me was like, wow, that'd be a great honor, almost like it's some form of validation. And then, like I said, our season kind of hit the skids, and Mick got the Pac-12 Coach of the Year, and I thought you had to be the regional Coach of the Year to be eligible. So, you know, okay, it wasn't going to happen. You're not a big deal. I kind of got over that, realizing that it wasn't going to be this point of validation for me. And then they called me. I was in the office after our regional and said they had won it. I was kind of blown away because I thought I wasn't even eligible, but felt kind of silly about it. And I guess I don't really remember a ton of the speech because it was all a blur because I'm not great public speaking. So I was a little bit nervous. But it basically was just saying that, you know, we've all been doing the same work. We've all been working with student-athletes and giving everything we have to better them and working with them. So if we're all fighting the same fight for 4 months, and it seems kind of silly for one person to be singled out and standing in front of everyone else. So I just talked about, you know, how lucky I've been that I've been a volley dork, you know, since 1984, and been very fortunate to have been around a lot of amazing people. I talked about, you know, when I first got the UCLA job, Russ was obviously in the midst of his world domination, and I was able to call his office, you know, and he spoke to me for 45 minutes straight just about what he thinks is important, kind of his gym culture, this and that. What's that?
Betty wishes he didn't do that now.
Yeah, I'm not sure it helps. Gym culture is just recruit really well, get really physical girls, teach them how to play. No, but yeah, it was just, you know, kind of paying homage to the guys that I am lucky enough to be able to spend time with, and these guys that I've always looked up to. Now I consider them, you know, mentors and you know, peers in the field, and it's just really, really overwhelming to be in the same room with some of these guys.
Mike, now that you've been there, you've been to the Final Four, you won a championship, just the process that goes into that whole thing, I want your opinion on one part of the process of winning a championship. Is giving championship hats to girls a good idea?
Championship hats?
Hats, because hats to guys is great, but hats to girls. Is that what they want to commemorate the championship?
Hey, man, I'm just a volleyball coach. I just do what I can do. It's someone in the NCAA has given away something. I don't know if those are the extra hats they tried giving away to, like, the men's lacrosse title last year, and they just had some extras. I'm not sure.
Seals, where are those 93 Northridge championship shirts that had to get burned that day?
I think they have to send those down to Costa Rica or Nicaragua. I think TK probably bought those and sold them half price down there.
TK has one for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, hey, Mike Seals, we appreciate you spending time with us from Italy. Hope you're having a great time and enjoying your championship. Perhaps over there people won't ask you, do you have the roster for next year? They just let you
they're not too sure about that.
That was.
Hey, Seals, congratulations, man. We're all real proud of you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, big congratulations. Bye. Fantastic.
See you.
All right, Mike Seeley, national championship.
Can I quote Jim Rome after he gets a random call from a guest and it goes, well, that didn't suck.
That didn't suck. I'll tell you, I like Seals' comment about saying he doesn't remember what he said. Because I think that's true a lot of times when you're doing public speaking. You're not really sure what you said. And Seals, I thought, got up there and spoke from the heart. And he did a great job. He said he's not good at public speaking. He was great. He gave a fantastic acceptance speech. It was funny. It was engaging. It was the right length. It was great.
I usually have a problem with that, knowing how long the speech is supposed to go.
Yeah, when somebody comes up with like two or three sheets, single space, then that's a problem. Seals just walked up there and really, I thought, did a great job. And it's fantastic to see young coaches having success. It's fun to see a guy that I spent some time playing with and hanging out with in my season in Belgium having this kind of success that he's had. Really good stuff. Let's. We got TK here still on the line. Tim, you still there?
Hey, Tim, I think you're on the line. Hey, Dieter, you still there?
Yes, TK.
Uh-oh, we got Steely back on the other line.
Hold on. TK, stay right here. Yo.
TK, talk to us.
Well, I hung up the other line because I was paying like 80 cents a minute to listen to the Net Live, which was great until Steely hung up.
All right. I just wanted to ask you real quick because we talked about your upcoming tour. We were down in San Antonio. We've had you on here before. How's the response been? Has it been fun hanging out with Russ Rose and Mike and doing the whole thing over there in Italy with the coaches clinic?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's been great. I mean, obviously those guys are hilarious, and couldn't be with two better people cruising around. We had wonderful weather in Rome. We got Sunshine and TCA both have their clubs here, and the coaches on those teams, along with all the other coaches that came along to hang out with Russ and Mike, have just been a lot of fun. The coaching staffs all leave tomorrow morning, which is going to be a bummer. And then, all the kids, we got 43 kids coming in now. I actually got a couple phone calls from some parents after being on with you guys. Four parents called, all from legitimate players that we'd love to represent. All of them were sophomores and juniors. And so, you know, hearing from them and being able to share some information with them and having them follow up on my comments about educating the kids about playing overseas was great. So I wanted to thank you guys again for that.
Oh, fantastic. That's good to know that we have a little bit of reach there. Good deal.
Yeah. Hey, right. I think we should put Rusty on. You got any questions for him, or you guys got something else to do?
We'll always talk to Russ.
Are you kidding?
Can we put him on? You ready?
Man of the Year. He won a Netty for Man of the Year. I don't even know if he knows.
Did he really?
No, last year.
Last year. Can you mind going on the radio for a sec? Hold on one sec. Here he is.
I want to ask him first.
Yeah, come on.
Last year for Man of the Year.
Hello. Yeah. Russ Rose always has time for the Net Live. We appreciate that. Coach, are you on?
Yeah, sure.
Coach, you don't know this, but last year you won a Netty on this show. It's our year-end show for the year. Yes, you did. So congratulations on that. You're probably not going to win it this year. Seeley might edge you out. But just talk to us about, Mike was on. He talked about a conversation he had with you for 45 minutes and how much help you were for him when he got that UCLA job. Just watching the job that he did at UCLA this season, pretty remarkable, huh, Coach?
Well, I mean, did a great job, and – you know, the kids played well at the right time, and the things that, in talking with him, he felt, you know, that the season was moving along, and all of a sudden, the last couple of weeks, they just kind of clicked in gear and played well as a team, and, you know, in the NCAA championship, certainly that's one of the ways to do it. But, we didn't see much of them, and until we got to regionals, and, you know, they just played really well as a team. They were a real fine ball-handling team, and, you know, I think they had some of the same success with us as they did with Texas, and that, their ball-handling skills were just a little bit better than both of our teams.
Hey, Coach, we were talking about this earlier, the AVCA convention, the Final Four. I wasn't able to go personally, but Kevin was there, of course, and we just talked about how this event has become so great for the sport of volleyball. You've watched it grow over the years. Can you comment now that you weren't in the Final Four finally, just being a part of it, though, how fun it is for the coaches and for the community of volleyball?
Yeah, I didn't think it was much fun. What are you talking about?
I know. You, obviously.
I went because I thought it was the right thing to do. So I didn't want to be, I only go when my team is in the Final Four. So I went, but I stayed away from the matches because I didn't want, the media wanted to talk to me and TV wanted to talk to me. So I, that wasn't about me. It was about the four teams that were there and the great job those coaches and players did. So, I stayed at a local bar and watched the matches on TV. But sure, the convention's a great event and it's a great opportunity for, the volleyball community kind of rally, and there's a lot of mentoring that takes place and a lot of great presentations.
Well, hey, Coach, we appreciate you spending time with us here once again. A brief word and checking in from Italy. Hope you're having a great time over there. Hope the cigars in Italy are as good as they are here in the States.
I brought my own just to make sure, but, spending time with TK and Sealy and, Steve Aaron, they put together a great program, so it's been a lot of fun.
Perfect. Have a great time. Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, Coach.
Appreciate
thank you.
My pleasure.
All right. Russ Rose.
That was so funny. TK, do you have time to talk to Russ Rose? And he goes, hey, Coach, can you get on this for a few minutes? you don't want to keep Coach too long because you want to value when he's here. So, you got to get him in doses.
Hey, we have Reed Pretty still on the line. He's going to be taking off. We do have his picks for the rest of the show.
Let's
we will
this.
Be
let's
detailing those. But he's got his mom coming in, and he has a match coming up. He's got busy stuff to go. So, Reed, just a little parting shot for 2011.
You know what? I'm glad that in 12, 2011 had some highlights, but there was also some lowlights. But, I wanted to take the opportunity to thank you guys. Kevin, the mainstay, Geeter, J-Row, you guys have been doing awesome work. And I want to thank the listeners and supporters of the show. It's great to see the show continue to grow. And I think 2012 with the Olympics and all that's in store for volleyball, hopefully the NetLive will be there. Covering it all, and just appreciate your guys' time and commitment to the show. So great being on with you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank
cool.
you, Reed. I think
thanks,
it's going to be a big year for the NetLive.
Good luck in your matches.
Good luck.
Thanks. Talk to you soon, guys.
Say hi to Mom.
Well said. Well said.
All right. DJ, spin us out. We're going to take a little 30-second break here.
Well, then we'll close up, and we come back with the rest of the awards.
Yeah, we're going to be back. Hey, I want to let everybody know, too, that the Spire Institute is coming on board as a sponsor, and we're excited to have that. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we get back. The Net Live here on the volleynetwork.com. Much more netties to go. Great new sponsors here. This show is going to be a big part of our show's success here in 2012. It says, You don't have to find the best college coaches. They find you at the Spire Institute. Spire's post-grad volleyball academy wants athletes. Spire delivers customized volleyball training and competition led by head coach John Hawks, athletic development with Michael Johnson Performance, and educational options, all in Olympic-grade facilities. There is no better way to impress college coaches and increase scholarship opportunities. The Spire Institute, postgraduate men's and women's programs in multiple sports. It's not taking a year off. It's adding a year to your future. Sign up at SpireInstitute.org. SpireInstitute.org. So big thanks to John Hawks and Spire Institute for getting on board. Look forward to talking more about them here in 2012. We are going to talk more about the Netties. We have several categories left to go. We took that short little diversion, which we will do anytime we can talk to Mike Seeley and Russ Rose and Tim Kelly.
We will take a time out and get to it.
Oh, my goodness. That was a lot of fun talking to them.
Even the Netties get put on hold.
That's right. Even our award show has to take a back seat.
Teasing the awards.
So we are on to headline of the year. We've lost Reed Pretty, but we have his picks, so don't sweat. Don't fret. We have Reed Pretty's picks. We will discuss those. But let's get to DJ Roche. We'll give you a first shot at headline of the year for 2011.
Headline of the year. Now, we all know that I'm very beach-oriented.
Sure.
That's what I've been a part of. So my headline of the year is this.
I'm not retiring, people.
Missy announcing that she was coming back and going to play with Carrie. I mean, she never said that she is retiring, but we all just assumed that she wasn't going to go for the third Olympic gold, and then she decided that she was going to, and I think that's a big deal. I mean, three Olympic golds? I don't have any.
That's when you start getting introduced as three-time gold medalist, Misty May Trainor. That's
a lot.
You thought three-time gold medalist Karch Karai was a lot. Add Misty May Trainor into that. Another
that's
hyphen.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. If I won three gold medals, that's how you would have to introduce me as well.
You're up, Barney.
All right, headline of the year. You know, I got to echo DJ Roche, Misty and Carrie back together. That was my headline of the year, the return of the Golden Girls for NBC, for Gatorade, for all the sponsors out there, for the Olympic movement, for volleyball and its attention outside of just the Volleyverse. I think it's huge. And I'm talking about volleyball, not beach volleyball. I think finally, much to my pleasure, you have names that outside of Karch Karai who get mentioned in reference to volleyball in general outside of the volleyball community. People say, oh, like Misty May or like Carrie Walsh. Good. I think that's huge. So Misty and Carrie back together again was my headline of the year.
I hate going last and having the same ones as you guys, but I just...
It was a big one.
I can't think of a one that at least shook up, as you said, the Volleyverse more than that in terms of getting the energy back, especially on the beach side where, let's be honest, guys, it was in dire need of something. And the reason why I think it's so big is because of the effect it's going to have coming into this Olympic year, getting that buzz back for the sport of beach volleyball. They had a good one on the chat room, Stacey's car accident.
That's a big one.
She came on her show, too.
That's a big one. Stacey actually recovered from that, I think, back in Brazil now. So we'll get to Reed's pick, headline of the year for 2011. I like it. Hugh McCutchen signed a seven-year deal with Minnesota.
That's a biggie.
Drew tremendous tension as rumors of a possible early departure from the USA women's team. And actually had a good conversation with Hugh about that. Feels like he made the right decision to stay and kind of finish out what they had started with the U.S. women's team. Obviously, that working out very well. So I like that pick. Hugh McCutchen signing a seven-year deal with Minnesota as headline of the year. That was from Reed Pretty. Looking back to last year, Geeter, you and I were up here, and headline of the year, I had AVP collapse and a second with women's national team wins Grand Prix because they were kind of ahead of where we all thought they were supposed to be. And Geeter, you, of course, last year with the same thing, echoed what everyone else said rather than having a unique idea.
I went first.
You said the AVP collapse. All right.
Can you at least give me that one? I mean, it affected me in a different way.
Oh, absolutely.
So give me that one at least.
I don't know. It just says same here. I don't know what that means. All right, number four, issue that will be most influential in 2012. Now let's look back. Geeter, you and I last year saying what would be influential in this year, in 2011, what would have been influential. I said Olympic qualification for all. That's panned out, I think, because of the beach trials process, resolved, not resolved, happening, not happening. and you had the women qualifying and the men not. Geeter said Kerry Walsh back again last year, coming off second child, returning to the beach once again. Who knew that that would include Misty?
Yeah. I mean, there was...
Good call there.
I just didn't think she and Misty would ever play together again because I thought Misty would be done for a while, and then when Misty did come back, she'd play with someone else.
Yeah, it appeared to be on the way with Nicole.
Yep.
Who knew that that was going to happen? All right, so issue that will be most influential in 2012. I'll go on this one. Hey! For the second time in this program, we got to take a little break. Hey! That doesn't need to be on my air. Okay. Whisper, please.
One of the most...
You know,
if that's
parent,
not one of the more amazing moments in 2012... I'm already looking ahead to the next Nettie's. Jeremy, please,
you have to write that
for
down,
the love
don't
of God, get that as a soundbite. I want it played before every show.
Can we get a studio again? I mean, gee whiz.
That was great.
You know, in the show right
kids
now.
Kids have been off 2.5 weeks.
It's mayhem around here.
Well, they got a lot of energy. They need to be amongst their own people.
Kevin's going to eat his children after the show.
Please go.
I understand why lions eat their young. That's right. Issue that will be most influential in 2012. Barnett sent to jail for killing children. Actually, I had, will the men's team qualify? Because there are some serious doubts there. And I said the talent's in their gym, which I think is true. But can they put it together with injuries, with the issues that are going on now, with the disappointment of World Cup? Can they let that go? Can they come back together and in basically less than a month of training go down and beat Cuba? Cuba, who's together a lot more. Can they make that happen? And if they can't, can they win that tournament in June? That's going to be a big, big question. So for me, that's the most influential thing because I think the beach is going to qualify. The women have qualified. It's on the men. Defending champions can't not be there.
The most influential thing for 2012 for me, and I don't think this is me going out on a limb, but I just couldn't think of anything else, even though I think yours is a great one. The 2012 Olympic Games in London. For those 2.5 weeks, beach volleyball is a top three sport in terms of they call the A sports, the A tier, the B tier, the C tier, the tier one, two, and three. They're a tier one sport, tier A sport, meaning along with swimming and track and field, they are right up there. So beach volleyball will be viewed again by millions of people. The indoor team, as Barney said, if they can get there, a chance to defend their gold. Hugh McCutcheon, a great story with the women. They are playing at the top of their game. For those 2.5 weeks, volleyball will be seen by more people than just the average fan. I always think that we get a nice buzz. We get a nice kick up in terms of the interest. And I know you don't want to be just an Olympic sport, but let's face it, when the Olympics are here, that's when our sport is talked about most. And I see it as a great thing, especially because I think you got to strike when the iron's hot. And I think right now the indoor game, especially on the women's side, has never been better. The sand volleyball is going to start this spring for college. You're getting your last chance to see Misty and Kerry really, really have a chance to get that gold together because it's going to be a time for new stars. After that, in April and Jen, you can't count them out if they're the number two team, you know, or will like a Brooke and Lauren squeak in and get there. But, you know, it's going to be exciting. Phil and Todd, this is Todd's last run. Who's going to get that number two spot for the men? You know, beach volleyball, you're going to – the next Olympics, by the time we're in Rio, all new teams. So this is kind of a last – to see the dominance that we've had for the last two quads, you know, indoor and outdoor. This is it. So I think for these 2 weeks, the most influential thing, without a doubt, is going to be London 2012.
I'm interested to see how the Hugh McCutcheon story gets treated by NBC, by my employer. Mm-hmm. Of course, Hugh's father-in-law murdered in Beijing, mother-in-law critically injured. Hugh missed 3 of the matches for the men's team.
Yep.
His wife, Elizabeth McCutcheon, was there. When this occurred, just a horrible random act of violence. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to see how that gets treated with NBC, with Hugh being back, being with the women. And
you know what's
and how
Barney,
much they play that up or how much he lets them play that up.
It's probably going to get more run than it did in Beijing.
I hope not.
I know. I'm just saying, like, if they do well.
You know, another sit down with Costas.
I know. That's a good point. But I'm telling you, if they do well, they're going to bring it up
a
lot.
It's going to get brought up for sure. All right, most influential in 2012 for Reed. He also said the London Olympics. USA poised to do very well as an organization. Women's indoor beach. And he said, don't forget about the sitting teams, Paralympics.
Yeah.
Women's team is qualified. Yeah. Men's team still trying to qualify. But don't forget about the Paralympics. All right, DJ.
Mine, when I said issue, I took that literally. My issue, I didn't even consider the U.S. men's indoor team not qualifying. So my issue was just them coming together as a team and doing well in the Olympics. I'm just going to assume that they're going to qualify because they better. So I think that's going to be the most influential thing in 2012.
They better, it's going to ruin your pick.
Absolutely. Make me look bad.
That's right. Can't have that. By the way, how do you feel about your look in the Garthoff sketch?
I was more concerned with how Geeter felt about his look.
It's funny you say that. Because
I know exactly what your first thought
was. I literally kicked that woman out of our tent. She made. I explained this already on the beginning of the show, but
yes.
Because a cartoon character she made of the two of us, it was off the charts. I was so furious. And then, of course, at the banquet, it's front and center on the big screen.
Of course it was.
I mean, it was amazing.
I just like that Garthoff got my tattoo in there.
You got everything in there.
Yeah, I mean, he's really good. I mean, my hair.
I thought it was his worst work.
I thought it just. The only person that looked right was Kevin.
Yeah.
And that just seems weird.
A little Dennis the Menace in it. I mean, a nice little suit on.
He got me right. He got the part of the hair right.
Now he looked at. He crushed Reed.
Reed is a conehead, man.
Yeah.
That was great.
Dan Aykroyd and Reed. That's right next to each other. Unbelievable.
That was great.
All right. Out with the positive. On with the negative with these Netty Awards. Biggest disappointment of 2011.
I'll tell you what it's not. Shaq winning their second straight gold medal that none of you mentioned.
That is not my headline of the year. Biggest disappointment of 2011. We'll let Reed go. Reed said men's national team. Third year in a row for him. You can tell where he's at.
Wow.
He's not happy with the results. Expectations are high for the group in general. Expectations are very high for the individuals. So Reed Pretty names his own team and himself, effectively, biggest disappointment of 2011.
Mine?
Yes.
Moving the Manhattan Six-Man Tournament, which we had talked about earlier in this show, and what it is, what it means for the volleyball world. Indoor beach. It's a great event that thousands of people enjoy and have played for years and years. The city just cannot figure it out. The police panic. They've tried to change things. Now they want to move it to a Tuesday, Wednesday. That, to me, is the biggest slap in the face ever. Just cancel it then. Move it to a Tuesday, Wednesday? Why? Why would you do that? What does that do? What does that do for the working man that's the one that's complaining, apparently? The guy who works and says, oh, I don't want people in my lawn having sex and stuff. Well, guess what? It's going to happen on Tuesday night now. And you know what? You're going to lose the core people that actually do have to work. Because they play. What does a Tuesday, Wednesday mean? You got to get there on a Monday. You can't work Thursday. What, do you have to take a week off of work? It's unrealistic. Just cancel it. Goofs.
Let me ask you this.
What?
Do you think that is what their goal is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. To move it to Tuesday, Wednesday. We kept it. No, you didn't.
Mayor Montgomery Burns of Manhattan Beach.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Richard Burns. Of Manhattan Beach.
Nice job, douche.
It's a good thing we're a podcast.
I don't care.
I'm with you on the Manhattan Beach issue. And this is an argument along the beach cities all the time, not just with the six-man, but with every bar that operates inside of these three cities. It's always grumpy old residents with a ton of money complaining about anyone else being in their city. I don't want you in my city. I paid millions of dollars to get away from the rest of you in Los Angeles, and I don't want any of you following
me
here.
Go away for that weekend. It's fine. No one even. I've had to do it before.
And
no
the police,
one cares that you're gone.
To your point, the police freak out. The police are the cause of a lot of the arrests.
Because they're in a full panic.
Yeah, because I remember 2 years ago sitting, the first year of the lockdown, I remember sitting near the stairway next to the pier. Guy comes halfway down the stairway, already made it through the checkpoint, does a backflip off of the stairway to the sand. The police try and arrest him for the backflip.
Yeah.
And they try and run him down, and he's running away, and they tackle him, and they got three guys on him and kneeing him and sticking him. For what? The guy did a backflip off the pier. So what?
You know, I used to never even think about the Strand houses when the six-man was how it was. Then they change it. Now it's all about what Strand house you're getting, which
one
you're
renting. Pushed the party off the beach. They pushed it into the neighborhood.
Changing it. That's the problem. I'm getting too upset.
It's unintended consequences is what it is.
Yeah.
They've pushed the party from the beach where, okay, yes, I understand, old folks, city of Manhattan Beach. Alcohol is illegal on the beach. I get it. Those same people who make that point are the same people who go to the summer concert series or go down on a Thursday night in the middle of the summer on a beautiful warm evening and take their wine with them and put it in a cup and drink it the same on the beach. You are breaking the same law. It is a stupid law. You are breaking the same law. So don't tell me that's the reason. Oh, there's drinking on the beach. That's not allowed. Be quiet. That's a red herring to the situation. You pushed the party into your own neighborhood. How do you like it now? And now you want to kill the thing entirely. I'll bet Shellback, Hercules, any of the restaurants,
Hercules,
they don't want to kill this event.
No, they don't.
Because they have 50,000 people eating at their establishment,
because
drinking
play,
at their establishment all day long.
As Matt Boyce once said, we play for Fantas.
Does the city not want the revenue from that weekend? They're strapped for revenue. They're making quite a bit of money on that weekend in taxes alone. Parking, don't forget parking tickets. Geeter, probably paying one or two at least.
At least.
Huh. Luckily, you can walk to the event. It's just ridiculous. And yeah, there are some out-of-control parts of it, but my point is that the city has created more out-of-control parts of it with their heavy-handedness and handling of it. Enough of that. My biggest disappointment, 2011. USA Men's National Team fails to qualify.
Yeah, I thought that was as big as them.
They're getting hammered.
Yeah.
They have the talent to be so much more. They have the potential to be so much more, and they're just not getting it done. And we've talked a lot on this show about some of the issues surrounding that team, coaching staff, the players, the injuries, the situations. They are, at this point, underperforming. We'll see what happens in May. We'll see what happens in June. If they make the Olympics, we'll see then. They better make it, because I don't want my paycheck cut in half because I'm doing half the matches. All right. DJ Roche, did we get to you?
Nope.
Biggest disappointment of 2011.
That the show started at 8:30 this morning and I didn't know about it.
All right, moving on.
No, mine, it's a good thing and a bad thing. I think the inconsistency of the scheduling of beach volleyball events this year. Started off great.
That's
a
good one.
Everybody, the fact that there were tours was a great thing. I mean, there are three different tours. There were events that people could play in.
So frustrating, though, wasn't it? For the two of us?
A little bit.
We talked about this live.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, IMG and USAV announcing at the beginning of the year we have a tour, and then not hearing about it until, what was it, June, July? So just the inconsistency of that, I think, is difficult for the fans to follow beach volleyball, especially after the year it had in 2010. But, again, the fact that there were events was a big 100%. Thing.
Yeah, it can't rise from the ashes immediately.
No, correct. And like I said all year long on the show, beach volleyball started over again. Everybody wanted the NVL events to be exactly like an AVP event. It just can't be that way. It just volleyball started over again. But it's still a disappointment. Not going to lie.
I like that one. I like because it's deep thoughts.
That's not my first radio.
It's beyond the surface. And they're giving a big hug. I like that. A man hug going on. DJ Roche, that's why you're here. You're adding value.
Isn't it my show? No.
We're down to the last two.
Down to the last two. Person of the year and fifth man of the year.
You'd never guess my person of the year. You're never going
to
guess.
Reed has on here seventh man of the year. Kind of volleyball.
Yeah.
Although, would that have to be eighth man of the year now because you have a libero?
Yeah. Got it. And we'll have to explain it every broadcast.
That's right. We've got to talk about it.
The reason why we say eighth man is because.
All right. So, person of the year. Let's take a look back. Let's take a look back. Kevin Barnett last year, Hugh McCutcheon. person of the year was Hugh McCutchen.
No need
results
to even
explain. Results with the national team. Geeter, Russ Rhodes.
Hands down.
For a little something he did.
Four straight titles.
That's a little something. This year, I'm going to go with the two-time defending champion of my POY award, Hugh McCutchen again.
Huh.
And I didn't even know what I had for last year until after I made my pick for this year. I think Hugh's got to be the pick. Qualify for the Olympics.
Yep.
Aside from a weird match against Japan that will never, ever be replicated in competition history, basically, would have won World Cup. His team is ranked number one in the world, has an incredible gym of talent, continues to come on this show and say funny stuff for us, quotable quotes.
Yes.
I think Hugh McCutchen is getting it done at the highest level. I think he's thoughtful and systematic about his approach to this sport, and it's fun to watch. Hugh McCutchen, person of the year for me.
3 years in a row.
Well, now he's the two-time defending champ.
Oh, two-time defending
champ. He's the two-time defending champ. I didn't go all the way back to 09. I can't remember who was in 09.
Mine, you're not going to guess, so I'm going to tell you.
I don't even get a guess?
Okay, yeah, you can try to guess. Get one guess.
Millie McGee, for being accepting of her younger sister.
Oh, she's so good.
All right, person of the year.
Person of the year. There were a couple guys and gals that were in the running. You know, Mike Seeley was definitely a thought for what he accomplished. But I'm going to go with Pete Hansen, who we had on this show, Ohio State men's volleyball head coach. In his 27th year, captured the first title for Ohio State in men's volleyball, just showing and proving that men's volleyball is being played around the country. It's not dominated by the West Coast, and I remember when Penn State broke through and won in 94. But I thought Hansen did an incredible job. No one even gave them a chance. I didn't even think they belonged in the Final Four. Not only did they belong, they won it. So I think Pete, for what he's done and staying in the men's game for 28 years now and accomplishing that, I thought he deserved it. He is my man of the year.
You put a lot of thought in that.
Woman of the year. It could be either. You could get a man. It could be a man or a woman. Yeah, he's the person of the year.
I like that.
I like that pick a lot. That's off the beaten path right there. DJR.
No, go with Reed next.
Reed?
Yeah.
Reed has two people here listed. I think he has a real pick and a fake pick. I'll go with his real pick first. Mike Seeley. UCLA NCAA national champions.
So why is my runner-up?
I think it's a good pick. Second pick, I think his fake pick was Jeremy Roche.
I don't think that's
fake. I think he's just trying to make up for you picking him as
athlete
of the year. No, it says Jeremy Roche, 4 exclamation points, and then he was the most consistent team member. Good for you, dude.
I like that.
Good for you. All right, DJR, your pick.
I bent the rules a little bit. I put persons of the year.
Okay.
And that would be this show. I'm actually being dead.
And by the way, we won an award. That needs to be mentioned.
I didn't get, and no one presented me with anything on the stage when I was.
Well, did they even mention it?
That's kind of a bummer.
Did they mention it at all?
I don't know if the Grand Burger was even mentioned.
You didn't present yourself with an award.
I wanted to introduce myself and award myself the award. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Can I tell you why I picked us?
Yes, please.
I would love to hear this.
Honestly, this is the only show that brings. Not just beach volleyball, not just indoor, not just men, not just women. We talk flag football. We talk motocross. We talk
Geeters. Yes, we do.
We talk Geeters, Shaq team. Yeah. I mean, this show, and it's not just pumping us up, but I mean, this show brings the world of volleyball together, and, you know, you can't get that anywhere else. You know, I mean, yes, all these coaches are doing great things, blah, blah, blah. But they all come.
Hugh McCutchen, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah,
blah, blah, whatever.
The net lock.
None of them know who I am, and that's fine. But they all come on this show. We just had Russ call us from Italy, and that's kind of a big deal.
I think we had somebody else call us and then ask Russ if he would come on.
Well, we can edit the podcast.
Not really important.
We can edit the podcast, so it sounds like he called us.
Well,
What I like is that, number one, your answer is fantastic. I like that people, when we're not doing a show or whatever, get upset about it, because that means that they care and that they want it. We definitely have loyal fans and more fans that are inquiring about our show. I think people realize the difficulties we have of doing it every single week because of we have families and we have jobs, and it's really difficult sometimes to be able to produce and get a show out there. It's not easy. So it definitely takes a lot of effort. So thank you, Jeremy, for recognizing that. But, and to all our fans out there that do stay loyal, and whether we change the time or the day, they're still there. It's appreciated.
Much appreciated. And Jeremy, thank you for that. I appreciate all the effort that we have here. Very good. Hey, we had one of our fifth man of the year contenders on here earlier. We've got another one on here now. Brandon Rosenthal, you are up for the Net Live Fifth Man of the Year. How do you feel about your nomination?
Well, if I didn't win that, I was just going to ask if you guys can give me the Stepchild of the Year award. I mean, first of all, I feel blessed. I want to thank a couple small people that really made this all happen. Oh, I haven't won. Okay.
You're just in the running. It's you, Matt Boyce, who we had on earlier, Dustin Avall, and Jay Hossick. That's your competition.
Really? I mean, I could see Hossick. I could see Hossick. I don't know about the other two. I mean, come on.
Do you even know who they are?
Yeah. I mean, seriously? Matt Boyce?
We're talking about Matt Boyce, former Wave of the Week.
Yeah, I know. Winner. You know, come on. I mean, first of all, those guys don't have to put up with you on a weekly basis. I mean, let's just put it that way. I mean, not only that, none of them had to manage your ego at the convention. That's an award alone.
See, Brandon is—he's almost saying too much right now. That might hurt him because he's correct on all these things.
I'm changing my vote right now.
That's all right, because you know what? I'm here to speak the truth, and that's what this show is all about. So, boys, I'm just happy. You know, the show's back. Not only that, we've got the full crew in effect. Props to Matt Gardhoff for the character rendition. Yeah, I don't know, Geeter, we need to talk about maybe a little Lifetime Fitness, Gold's Gym kind of workout program.
All I know is this. Our listeners think it's between you and Hossick. I mean, Boyce and Avall just don't get the reps.
Do you know who you are in our group, Geeter? You're Costanza in that photo. That's who you are. In that drawing, you may as well dress yourself in velvet.
Yeah, you guys can poke fun all you want, but we all know that you guys panic when I'm not here, and you just don't have as much fun. The show goes on. The show is great, but it isn't as much fun, and Kevin knows it in his heart. So go ahead and poke fun.
Can we talk about a moment of panic when Geeter was supposed to host the show? And all alone, and 2 minutes before the show, I get a call in Nashville that says, "Hey, man, how does this thing work?"
Dude, I'll tell you what, Jay Roche and I were not happy.
No.
And Barney was on the other end of that shit.
I was working, and Jeremy was in a full anger mode.
I wasn't even a panic. It was just, you're lucky that your computer's still working. That I didn't throw it through the
window. I didn't have to pick it up off the neighbor's roof. That was going to be a rough one. All right, Brandon Rosenthal, appreciate the call.
Good luck, Brandon. We'll see.
Good luck in the award process here.
Hey, don't forget, you know, in that fifth man of the year, I won a championship too this year, you know. I know Mike Steele won the NCAA, but, I mean, really, come on.
There's a lot of good things going on in this house right now.
Yeah, not only that, I invited Barnett out to see, you know, what the, the Atlantic Sun had to offer. He was the MC/guest of honor. You know?
Wait, / keynote address. One of the more awkward moments I've had in my public speaking career, I was the keynote address.
Yep.
And then I had to transition to MC immediately. Nothing between.
Yeah.
No music.
Nobody came up and introduced you to anyone?
No.
And, you know, the most beautiful thing about that is, and what people probably already know is, I mean, that's everything you dreamed of. It was all about you.
I mean, you were introducing yourself. You were talking about yourself. I mean, that was just like a dream come true.
It was a tough
now.
Transition.
I'm going to tell you right now. Because we're moving on, but they will not have you there next year unless you are taken care of. I am representing you moving forward. They have gotten a steal, a bargain, and yes, we enjoy it. We love heckling you about it, but that is it, and I am sorry. But I am telling you right now, you will not be there next year.
Where?
At the AVCA convention unless you are taken care of.
Okay.
And you won't even have a say in this.
I like
am taking
it.
Over.
Finally. An advocate on my side. Rosenthal, thanks for calling in. Good luck.
Boys, Happy New Year. Keep up the great work.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, bud. Has Dustin Avall called in? I mean, I'm surprised.
I don't know.
Has not.
I've got another caller on the line. I'm wondering who it is.
Try it.
This is 308.
Hey.
No.
Dustin Avall.
Hey, bud. How are you? Happy New Year,
you
everybody.
You're up for a Netty. It's a brand new category we've never done before. It's our fifth man of the year. A guy that's kind of just produced for us, came through for us, and you are one of the nominees.
Well, I'm honored. I can tell you that I'm one for one in award nominations and victories this year. Last time I was on, Chris, you weren't there, and we became the award-winning Vinette Live, first time ever. So I'm really proud and happy to be there. Who am I up against? Reed's the fifth man. He's just a sub, isn't he?
You know, he's coming on strong. Boy, Jay Hossick, yourself. We threw Tim Kelly in there, even though he's a late bloomer, and of course Brandon Rosenthal.
Wow.
Brandon Rosenthal just came in and shot all of you down completely.
Wow. Well, I mean, I'm just happy to be nominated, really.
So you're running a positive campaign. Rosenthal was running sort of a negative campaign.
Rosenthal came in swinging.
That's a strong crew right there. I don't know. Maybe the four or five of us spin off and make our own blog talk show, and we just go head to head for next season. I don't know.
I want to listen to that show.
I couldn't wait. We can't wait, actually.
We're going to call it TNL Fifth Man.
Yeah, we couldn't. That'd be enjoy this.
I'll set up
we'll
time. You all can call in. It'll be fantastic. Just just you guys in a room.
Dustin, great job. And, great calling, and thank you for always helping the show.
Hey, absolutely. And if the listeners out there aren't sick of hearing from me yet, I do want to plug that USC Men's Volleyball starting. I'll be going live on usctrojans.com, broadcasting the men's matches.
Very
on the all-access interweb. So I hope to carry over some listeners and maybe get one of you guys or a couple of you guys. I know you broadcast at least one show from Galen Center last year. Maybe you in there again.
That sounds like fun. Are you doing play-by-play or are you doing color?
Play-by-play.
Who's your color?
I usually do play-by-play. Mark Beltran does the color for the home games. He's an old Trojan coach and player. It's not the smooth-going operation that you guys have over there. So sometimes it's a play-it-by-ear, and I might end up doing both. But, you know, usually it's a play-by-play. And then we have a lot of the guests that are there at Galen Center. USC Men's Volleyball had a strong year last year, as you guys know. I know Barney loves hearing the fight song week by week last week. But it's definitely, you know, a challenging year for the Trojan men since they graduated quite a few guys. So it's going to be an exciting year.
I'll tell you, Avall, because we're about to clip you right now because we've got to move on, but we did get a great text from Boyce. Early when we were talking to you, he said, give it to Avall, too much self-promotion from Rosenthal. As you kept going, he said, too much self-promotion from Avall, give it to me.
No, just so.
That's where Boyce falls in. And great job, Dustin. Thanks for all you did, man.
All right. Thanks,
take care, guys.
See ya. All right.
Have
well,
a good golf.
We've heard from several of the contestants. We have actually,
four of the five. We haven't heard from Jay.
Actually, Boyce and Rosenthal still on the line. I think we should have maybe a head-to-head debate here. Boyce and Rosenthal, first question, why should the other not win? Neither one paying attention to their phones.
No. I got you. Why should the other not win? I mean, I just think model of consistency. I mean, I'm on the road with the show. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
did co-host the convention special?
Good point.
I'm doing Barnett's laundry at my house because he's too busy writing a speech about himself. I mean, I'm feeding the guy, you know, cuisine that it takes him back to his roots.
Diablo.
You know?
We might let our listeners though.
Diablo shrimp, a cheese stuffed jalapeno with a shrimp and piece of bacon wrapped around it.
Matt Boyce, are you on?
Yeah, I am. You know what? 2011 will go down as a year of complaining, and it's now culminating right now with Rosenthal.
Oh, Come on. Come on, boys.
Hey, Rosenthal, do you have a Wave of the Week award? Do you have any sort of award?
No, I had Wave of the Year award, actually. No joke.
That is true.
but here's the deal. Here's the deal, and it will go down in infamy. You know, I was a senior, Boyce is a freshman. He comes in, we're doing our thing, you know, with the crowd, and Boyce comes in, and like never seen before, he took over. And it wasn't a bad thing. It was a welcoming thing. It was one of those things where I realized this guy's got something I don't have. He did this cheer that was unbelievable. And literally it was kind of just a, hey, man, it's your show now. And, you know, I'm a better person for knowing him. I still remember the blue jumpsuit, blue afro, big afro, bandana. It was phenomenal.
All right. No, it's time to cut him off.
Yeah.
Too much love now going on.
Too much. Yeah, we need more controversy.
Good stuff, though.
All right, gentlemen. Lord Picasso. Who is this?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Who's calling into this? Lord Picasso 2 calling the net live?
How are you?
This is going to be bad.
Yeah. Someone in a car phone.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Okay, that's the end of that.
That was Arnold.
Why was Arnold calling in?
I'm not sure what that's all about. Someone's going to have to send us an email on that.
Who can produce a picture of them wearing a T-shirt? That was Killian's idea, and I like
it. The Net Live T-shirt, I like that.
I like how Volumom gave me grief for the double negative. Yes, it's a double negative. Sorry about that.
All right.
And Dan Mickle said, let's talk about Barney wearing dress pants and a Net Live shirt at convention. That was actually my outfit for the.
I heard.
Awesome. For that. Well, because I had no time to change. So I ripped off the tie, threw on the Net Live shirt, and that was
the
it.
The blue or the gray?
Blue.
Nice.
Does Reed have a fifth man award winner?
He does.
He picks one? Who'd he go with? Let's start with him.
Here we go. Seventh man of the year is what Reed put, but fifth man of the year. He went with Brandon Rosenthal. Good pick.
Mm-hmm.
Co-hosted a lot. Called in a lot.
I'm going to piggyback it, if you don't mind, and jump in.
Yep.
Boyce and Aval add a huge value. We just don't get them enough because of their jobs and opportunities. We always call Dustin like last minute to see if he can come host, or Boyce. So they didn't have the reps to win it, but they are right there. It came down for me between – and I thought TK did a real nice job coming in a lot at the end of the year, but it came down to Jay and it came down to Brandon. And I think Jay added so much value during the men's season. He was awesome. He came in and hosted the show, was fantastic. Rosenthal gets over the hump for this. His addition to the Women's Weekly, ABCA, was awesome. He really had great chemistry with Sondi and Holly, but that he hosted so many times, went on call, and helped us with production, and really the ABCA convention show put him over the top. So Rosenthal is my fifth man of the year award winner. I don't think he's going to repeat as champion because I think this is going to fire up those other guys. But for right now, for the next year, Rosenthal wears the crown.
Rosenthal sent me a text, said, don't forget about the In-N-Out Challenge.
Yeah.
That's true.
And
true.
The Root Beer Challenge.
True.
What was the Root Beer Challenge? I missed that.
It's called the Root Beer Mile. It's done at Lipscomb. I was happy to be present for that, done by the track team. You get four root beers, and you go out to the track. You have to chug a root beer, run around the track, chug a root beer, run around the track, chug a root beer, run around the track.
That sounds miserable.
It is hell. It is awful, and people are throwing up all over the place.
Obviously.
Rosenthal did it. Didn't throw up until later in the scouting report for his team.
That's impressive.
For all those reasons that you just mentioned.
He's still texting you, isn't
he? He is. He said, forget the ASUN championship. I'm proud of the Netty. For all those reasons, I got to go with Rosenthal. Uh-huh. In all seriousness, he came on and hosted when we needed him. He was much improved. I might vote him most improved host of the year. My mom would probably have to give out that award. You know, she throws Reed under the bus for all
very
the ums and ers.
Show.
Yeah. But I think that Rose has done a great job. He was a great addition to our our Volleyball Weekly for the women, giving us kind of that East Coast feel, getting us out of the Pac-12, and coming on and interviewing with us and sitting at convention, and of course making sure that I got introduced to everyone at convention that I needed to see. Brandon Rosenthal is my vote.
Is it a clean sweep, Jay Roche?
You know. Yes.
Yeah.
But Dustin Aval was a runner-up for me.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you why. Well, let me explain something. I know Boyce and Aval personally. I don't know anybody else personally. So that kind of, that was a...
Boyce was fantastic when we had him on this year. I'm going to make that point.
Everybody that was up for the award was great. I know Dustin. Dustin and I see us working together next year, so I would like to at least acknowledge him a little bit. And he also, the first, I don't remember when it was, but Kevin was like, oh, I'm not going to be here next week. And within minutes, Dustin had texted Geeter and I saying, what time do I need to be there?
Yep.
I'll be there with bells on. So he is like, he's setting it up for next year, I think.
Yeah.
But it definitely goes to Rosenthal. He's been the most consistent. We've had to rely on him the most. I don't know him personally at all. I don't even know what he looks like if I ran into him on the street.
You've seen him in an out hat.
Garbage production. True. Very true.
If I had to give awards for the Net Live itself, I'm giving our sixth man of the year, like the Lamar Odom Award,
yeah,
to you because of what you've added to this show.
Isn't that, am I really the only one in that running?
No.
And then we're gonna trade you this year.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I just threw out Lamar because he's the reigning sixth man of the year award winner. A lot of value to the show. Cares about it, always shows up, whether it's last minute or not. And then MVP, of course, has to go to Kevin Barnett. There's not a question about it. Without him, there is no show. He's the glue. I'm going to give biggest disappointment to myself because of the November run I had was not good. But hopefully everyone understands when that job called, it called big time. I will be back in 2012, and I will be strong. I'm not going to win any awards for the show, let's be honest. But I will be a major part of it, as I was earlier in 2011.
We're going to get...
Sorry for winning back-to-back golds. And for being awesome.
All right.
For actually making this show fun. And for heckling you. Sorry, go ahead.
Spire Institute. You don't have to find the best college coaches. They find you at Spire Institute. Spire's Postgrad Volleyball Academy wants athletes. Spire delivers customized volleyball training and competition led by head coach John Hawks, athletic development with Michael Johnson performance, and educational options, all in Olympic-grade facilities. There is no better way to impress college coaches and increase scholarship opportunities. Spire Institute, postgraduate men's, women's programs in multiple sports. It's not taking a year off. It's adding a year to your future. Sign up at spireinstitute.org. Gentlemen, this has been a fun award show.
Yeah.
This has been a lot of fun. I want to make sure we thank, for this past year, we want to thank Volleyball Magazine for their involvement with us, for their participation in organizing the trivia contest that went on, for giving us material for this, for promoting our show, for having the ads in the magazines, which I know people see and people are aware of. Big thanks to Hurley for our T-shirts. Those T-shirts are still available. Vala Clothing, VALAclothing.com. Those are still available. And remember, that is you supporting our program. And this is the deal. We give you a high-quality NetLive T-shirt and 2.5 years of content free, available on iTunes at any time, and you give us $20. I think it's worth $20. I hope you and the volleyball community value it at $20.
Kidding me?
It's a great shirt.
It's a hell of a deal.
I want to say a big thanks to Spire Institute for getting on board. Big thanks to Mizuno for sponsoring the NetLive Volleyball Magazine Trivia Shootout. Mizuno coming on board for this year with our show. So big thanks to Mizuno. Good talking with Bryn Murphy. Good seeing her over at convention. Big thanks to you guys for continuing to show up most weeks for some of us, every week for others.
I dominated.
Did you need more volume for that?
Sorry. Yeah. You ready to do it again?
Hit it.
I dominated.
There we go. But big thanks to our listeners, too, for participating, for being on the Facebook page, for coming by, for dropping us lines, dropping us emails. We don't always get all the information on air, but we sure appreciate knowing that you guys are out there, that you're listening, that you're enjoying the program. And
Cam Kerr
out there
does such a good job promoting us.
Yeah, good job by Cam Curry to start his own podcast.
And he has his own podcast.
Love
yeah,
it.
He might, he's going to be in the running for that award next year.
Big thanks to all four of our guys that were on that nomination. Dustin Abel for sitting in. He was a part of the first show that I was never on, or that I wasn't on. Matt Boyce for calling in and with some comic relief and some fun stuff. And Jay Hossick for all that he does, calling in for men's. I think we'll hear from him for the men's College Football Weekly as well this year. He was very disappointed he did not win. And congratulations to Brandon Rosenthal for the fifth man.
You get nothing.
For his award for being one of my best friends and being a big advocate for this show. He's always throwing us stuff, too, about topics off of Volley Talk or wherever. So big thanks to all of them. There's a note on the chat board here. I appreciate everybody who's on the chat board talking about Barnett and Anaheim 1 and there being three Supercross dates in Southern California. Yeah, there's always three Supercross dates in Southern California. You better believe I'll be there next Saturday night. And if you want to come out to Paris Raceway on Sunday, I'll be racing. I'm racing on Sunday.
That I actually might have to see.
It's a ways away. It's a big commitment. Paris Raceway, about an hour and 45 clip.
Will you
here.
Send me a car?
Boy's pissed that it was a unanimous choice.
He didn't even get in.
At least I mentioned him.
It makes you guys look just pathetic. Gee, he's already in the running again.
You know, as much as I hated you guys this morning, I'm very excited to be here, and I thought it was a great show. And when I say hate, I mean I hated you.
Hang on to some of that hate. Last year we had rants at the end of the year. This year we're feeling a little more positive. I don't think we have rants at the end of this year. I lambasted the NCAA last year. I got really mad. And honestly, I could do the same thing now.
Yeah.
New York Times article out there sent to us by a few people. Thanks for that. About paying players and that continuing discussion. We're going to get into that in the new year. We'll revisit that, of course. And much to Rosenthal's chagrin. He's like, get off it already. But thanks to all that. Look, but we wanted to have some end-of-the-year thoughts. Geeter, we'll start with you.
Last year, as you had mentioned, a very difficult time for, I think, a lot of us because of the personal way that it affected myself and people that I love and friends and relationships, and it was a major part of my life and career. So definitely a negative place last year with the sport. I mean, Barney had to talk about the ledge many times. I was so negative when it came to the sport. I had a little bit of a rebirth here in 2011. I had an unbelievable year in terms of a new baby being born, my little Luca, my little daughter, a new job, my professional career in a very good place, signing with Fox Sports. So I working with the Longhorn Network, I got to do all kinds of fun stuff. I really think that sometimes things happen for a reason. For me personally, the AVP going away really made me turn my focus into what I needed to do for my family and what I needed to do for my career. So in that way, J-Ro, it made me really turn over a new leaf and forge ahead. I was stoked that I was able to be a part of Beach Volleyball in 2011. I was stoked that we had that show on Versus called Inside Out Beach Volleyball. I left this summer with a good taste in my mouth that, no, it's not perfect, but beach volleyball was back and making a good comeback. I felt like the indoor game, men and women, never been better. Club volleyball was fantastic for me on a personal level, and every time I go to those gym and see all those great players and great coaches, it makes me think that our game is in a great place. So Lego the Nago was what I wanted to do, and I did that. I believe a lot of positive things are happening in our game. I look forward to the women adding sand. I look forward to the men's game being better than ever. I look forward to another great club season. I think beach and indoor are going to have phenomenal years. The 2012 Olympics, there's nothing like it. I hope, Jeremy, that in some way we get to work together this summer. I'm not losing hope on that. We'll see how the schedules come out. But I'm fired up to be a part of this show because I think we do something unique, and it's a lot of fun to come to work every single day. And, of course, thanks to all of our listeners, all the club coaches and, like, parents that I see throughout the year and college coaches, they always comment on this show, and that makes me feel damn good.
Nice. I like the positivity. We're ending 11, starting 12 with a little positivity. DJ Roche, any last thoughts?
Yes. The beginning of this year started off, it was a little, didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what was going to happen in the beach volleyball world. The NBA lockout was looming. So two major gigs for me weren't going to be around. I could have done two things. I could have laid on the couch and cried and ate ho-hos and ding-dongs. Or I could have just stayed positive.
Really? Ding-dongs, not snowballs?
I just like saying ding-dongs. just kind of flows better. But, you know, talking with close friends and family, I stayed positive and knew things would happen, and I didn't just sit there and wait for things to come to me. I went out there and did things, and, I mean, this year was pretty amazing. I was in the Middle East, seriously.
Literally.
Literally, I was in the Middle East. Never would have thought that would happen. And I just stayed positive, and I'm happy that there was some beach volleyball this year, and I think this is a big year for that. With the Olympics, you know, the tours, beach tours competing again, I mean, this is a deciding year for beach volleyball. I think it could go two ways again. We could be starting over brand new again in 2013, or we could be riding high off the Olympics. I think it could go either way. I don't think there's going to be in between. So I look forward to that journey, and I look forward to still being a part of the show, even if Geeter's not going to be here.
That's pretty good. You mean when Geeter is not here?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good job.
Thanks.
You're last. Even though you've kind of already done it, give us a little more.
I got to be positive?
No. That's the thing. You, absolutely not.
No, I think 11, for me personally, is kind of a challenging year. I'm at a juncture with the whole broadcasting deal. For some reasons we've talked about publicly, a lot of reasons we've talked about privately. And we'll see. 12 is going to be an interesting year. I'll be at the Olympics. I'm so looking forward to going to the Olympics again, to being a part of that show again. This will be my fourth time. It'll be two times each as a player and broadcaster. And I'm just really happy to be able to continue to have that experience, to go and be a part of that incredible world event. I didn't really appreciate it the first time I ever went. I thought it was just an extension of what I did as a player. And it, to some extent it is. You don't think about that. The second time I went as a player, I appreciated every moment of it. And it had nothing to do with results on either side. I really just appreciated being there, having had a kid and come back from injury and being a part of the Olympic Games. I took some moments to walk out. I remember walking out before one of our last matches and looking at the arena before we were up and just looking around. And I have that image burned in my mind of standing in the tunnel and looking out at that event and thinking how cool it was to be a part of that event. And then I remember also the night going home during the writer's strike. I was doing World Cup, my first opportunity with NBC, working with Sunderland. We were halfway through. We just completed the women's, and we were getting ready to do the men's. Thanks, Blog Talk. And I got the call that I was going to be on the Olympic broadcast. They said, we'd like to offer you the job. And I thought, oh, that's great. That's just, it's amazing. And I did another broadcast. I got in the car, and I remember being in the car. It was raining. It was dark. I'm getting on the 101 to slog home for an hour and a half. And I was just so stoked that I was going back. So I am extremely stoked to be going back again. So I'm looking forward to that. Whatever else happens outside of that professionally for me, this show I think will endure. But we'll see where life carries me beyond this year. And so I kind of enter 12 with thanks that 11 is gone and looking forward to perhaps some changes, maybe some breakthroughs, kind of the unknown of 2012.
This year's netties are going to be really good. I can't wait for December.
That
was
or
pretty positive
January.
And pretty solid by Kevin Barnett. Well done, guys. Love you. Appreciate you.
And we love and appreciate everybody else out there. And if you could send us emails, that's fantastic. TheNetLive@gmail.com or interact on our Facebook page. We're going to drive to 2,500 fans this year. DJ Roche, we've talked about that. I hate to even set it that low. 2,500. I can't believe you're on Facebook. You're not on Facebook.
But when I get on Facebook, we're getting to 2,000.
But you're on Volley Talk with your real name. I don't get it. So
Twitter, too, @Geeter3.
We're going to drive to 2,500. We need you to tell your friends to like the show, to know about the show. The knowledge level out there at ABCA Convention was much higher than last year. But I want people to listen consistently. I want people to participate consistently. If you think we're getting stuck in a rut, if you think we're not talking about the right stuff, call us, email us, let us know. Facebook.com/TheNetLive. TheNetLive@gmail.com. Tweet Geeter. Tweet me. I'm on.
And so is the Net Live's there, too.
Kev Barn 14. Geeter 3.
DJ Roche.
DJ Roche, because nobody else spells their name with that many vowels.
It's amazing.
Get out there and interact with us. We want this show to expand. We want the people we talk to expand. We want this show to be better every single time out. That's why we always say it's been a great show. And it's been another great show.
It has.
And we've enjoyed being here. Thanks to Reed for checking in. Thanks to Aval, Rosenthal, everybody for calling in. Russ Rose, Mike Seeley, Tim Kelly. Fun stuff.
Even Gardhoff.
Even Gardhoff for drawing a fantastic cartoon, which will, in fact, be the podcast
his worst one.
Image.
Such a talented guy, though.
I'm thinking in my mind, I'm looking at you, Geeter, off the side with your mic and your super pumped up shoulders and your gigantic
cheeks,
single chin, looking like a chipmunk.
Yeah. That's great.
Thanks to Matt Gardhoff for the funny stuff that he does, for the effort that he puts in, for just the silliness that is this program. So it's the Net Live ending for 2011. We're looking forward to 2012. We look forward to our relationships with Mizuno, with Volleyball Magazine, with Spire Institute, with Hurley, and all the other sponsors out there that we want to support this program. Order a shirt. Be a part of this show.
First show of the year next Monday?
Right after my race? Assuming I survive next Sunday, we should be on next Monday. Are you available, Geeter? That's always the question.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I know DJ Rose always in.
Mondays are great for me.
All right. We'll look forward to next Monday, the Net Live here on TheVolleyballNetwork.com. Hope you had a great 2011. Looking forward to the rest of 2012.
Bullets are chasing. I began to stop.